Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast. So if tomorrow is a de facto elimination game in the Big Ten West title race in West Lafayette, someone has to lose, the Hawkeyes or the Boilermakers, what does Iowa need to do in order to keep from being, well, eliminated? 319-366-1600.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of Eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studio.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Bromelkamp Show.
Play action. Wide open. Kittle. Touchdown. Mullins passes. What a catch by Kittle. A one-handed grab. Foot race. Down near the five.
Who has two massive forearms and loves your fantasy football team? That guy, George Kittle, coming through big last night in an otherwise uninteresting game as the 49ers rout Oakland. And what do you know? John Gruden, that whole thing in Oakland? Oh, man, I don't know.
He's building a championship team, Todd.
Well, he's not doing it in 2018. Kittle looking fantastic. He made that second highlight, a one-handed grab across the middle that I think probably is a better catch than the Odell Beckham Jr. catch from a couple years ago, that one-handed grab in the end zone. And I don't know how he comes out of traffic with that ball, he damn near gets in the end zone. Got tackled at, what, the 5-4-yard line, something like that. Great night last night for George Kittle. Great night last night for the quarterback whose name I've already forgotten.
Nick Mullins.
Now, yes, of course, the immortal Nick Mullins, who was verified on Twitter. He got the blue check mark on his Twitter account mid-game. Talk about a memorable night for the former Southern Miss prod. It's still not the best quarterback ever to come out of Southern Miss. I hate to break it to him, but there's
Austin Davis.
probably top five, not number one. 319-366-1600, the number to reach us at here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. That is the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. And speaking of Hertine and Stocker, we have a final watch to give away this week, and we're going to do that sometime here in the 4 o'clock hour. Remember, it's time to fall back this weekend. We want you arriving at church on time and everything this weekend. Set your clocks back an hour before you go to bed on Saturday night. It's time to fall back to daylight savings time. And what better way to remind folks than to hook you up with a brand new watch from Hertine and Stocker. Lee Sterling is going to be with us coming up at the bottom of the hour. Lee of Paramount Sports will tell you whether or not he likes the Hawkeyes and the Cyclones this weekend, both teams on the road. Iowa State, a big 14.5-point favorite over Kansas. The Hawkeyes, a slight underdog against the Purdue Boilermakers. Jack Dom is going to stop by, his final appearance of the season as we close the books on baseball, touching all the bases. The major news today, Clayton Kershaw, not going anywhere. He and the Los Angeles Dodgers agreeing to a 3-year contract extension that gives them a little bit of wiggle room monetarily. Cole Hamels returning to the Chicago Cubs next year as well. We'll get into all of that with Jack. And Rob Howe, Mr. Media himself. We watched him on the television set directly in front of us last night at Mulligan's. Rob is going to be with us inside the big hour tonight, 6 o'clock. No guest, because we are off early at 6:45 for high school football.
Before we get into what Iowa needs to do to stay alive this weekend.
Breathe.
I had this weird epiphany last night, and it has to do with another Southern Miss quarterback, Austin Davis, the name that I just brought up. He was a starter at one time for the Rams and had a couple of good games. And I remember the Rams going into a Monday night football game against the 49ers, and the Monday night crew was comparing Austin Davis at the time to Drew Brees. And when I saw Nick Mullins do what he did last night, I had flashbacks to Austin Davis. And then I realized that the person who was comparing Austin Davis to Drew Brees was John Gruden. Maybe at that point we should have known that maybe he wasn't the best talent evaluator in the world.
He's got a vision. He's got a plan. And remember, guys are dying to come play for him. Hundreds. Yeah, they're in the Canadian Football League or in the Indoor Football League. Nice pickup today by the Cedar Rapids River Kings. We'll let you know who they added to their roster, a guy who was in preseason camp with the Green Bay Packers. But look at that. You ask people what Iowa needs to do to avoid being knocked out of the Big Ten West title race, and the phone lines light up here, 319-366-1600. Let's start today with Keith in Cedar Rapids. Keith, what's up?
Hey, how's it going? So, Todd, we talked last Friday about expectations. And so let's go ahead and talk about what they need to do this week. How about Nate Stanley not throwing interceptions? Because he's thrown some bad ones.
That's a start.
Every game this season, you know. I'd like to see a clean game from Nate Stanley. And then finally, we need to be able to run the ball. Like, there are times at points in the Penn State game where we're controlling the line of scrimmage and we're going. But one of those three guys need to step up, and our offensive lineman needs to step up and get some holes going. You know, let's control the clock. Let's grind out some of these games. I mean, defensively, I don't think the defense could be asked for more. And to tell you the truth, I don't understand why Phil Parker doesn't leave sometimes. The defense is just that good. But we really need some ball control, and we need a clean game from Nate Stanley. That's what I got for you, man.
Keith, great way to lead off there, and I think it does start with a clean game from Nathan Stanley. He can't turn the ball over, not on the road in Big Ten play. Found that out last weekend. I don't know the status of the thumb, but it sounds like he's going to be good to go. Purdue certainly knows that you've got a wounded animal out there. I'm sure they're going to be coming at him, and I think for the Boilermakers, a lot starts up front. So Keith makes a good point there with the offensive line, too, because Purdue is going to try to put some pressure, I think, make Nathan Stanley very uncomfortable.
They haven't been able to do that all year. And that's I think, why I wonder what Purdue is going to try to do, because I absolutely agree. They have to get pressure on Nate Stanley. And this is a perfect opportunity for him to bounce back. He made some good throws at the end of the game after his thumb injury. And it seems like it's a sprain and not a break. So we wonder exactly how healthy he'll be going into this game. The coaching staff has played it off as he'll be fine, but this is a defense where he should be able to succeed against. So he should have plenty of time, and if he has those two things, there's no excuse why the passing game can't bounce back from last week.
Mark, hang tight. We'll get to you in a second. Tom in Cedar Rapids. Tom, your keys for Iowa tomorrow.
Guys, sound similar to the last caller, but a little shorter. The defense just keep doing what the defense has been doing, and then kid character reference, but we can't have flat Stanley at quarterback.
All right, let's go to Mark in Cedar Rapids. I think a lot of people on the same page so far today. Mark, your keys to an Iowa win tomorrow.
Play Iowa football. They're good on defense. And stop taking these teams lightly, I think. I think they think that once Wisconsin was over, that, okay, we got it now. And you forgot Purdue and Northwestern, really? How come Northwestern is always there? And I think Iowa takes some of these other teams besides the power teams lightly, and that's why they're in the position that they're in now. Play Iowa football defense. You can stop these teams, but don't take them lightly. And I'll let you go on that. Love the show.
All right, Mark, thank you very much. It's been probably easily a good decade since there was an Iowa football team that was taking things lightly in the Big Ten. And that team got its comeuppance. You remember, many of you probably will, Kirk Ferentz talking about fat cats. The fat cat era at Iowa was short-lived. They got a wake-up call and turned things around pretty quickly after that. I don't think it's anything with taking opponents lightly, but this season is going to be, no matter how it finishes up here, I have a feeling we're going to be looking back on this one, and this will be the ultimate sort of what-if season of the Kirk Ferentz tenure, because I again maintain, in hindsight, that Iowa was better than Wisconsin, And I think Iowa was better than Penn State. And yet, they lost both of those games. They very well could be undefeated right now. They're not. And the key now, all that matters now, is avoiding a loss from here on out, because the next one, and all of a sudden, you're playing for the Holiday Bowl or some other bowl position. You have nothing else to play for the next time you lose a Big Ten football game, which makes November the greatest month of the college football season, not just in the Big Ten, but across the country. We're into it now because every single game feels like it's an eliminator. And for some, it actually is. And this is one of those instances tomorrow in West Lafayette where this is a de facto elimination game, because both of these teams are already probably on the outside looking in, but they still at least have the access code to the door. They can still get the door open. This is going to bar entry for one of those teams. I thought Mark Morehouse put it best on Twitter when he said the road to Indianapolis is actually the same road to West Lafayette this weekend, because you got to go down 74 to get to both places. And the Hawkeyes are in West Lafayette and ready to roll. We'll get you ready to roll tomorrow on our FM frequencies, 106.3 and 107.5, before the boom, breaking down in further detail Iowa and Purdue. Right now, let's head back to the phone lines, though, and bring on Tom in Marion. Tom, what does Iowa need to do tomorrow?
Hey, I'm telling you what, guys, they don't have to do anything. And the reason why is there's no expectation. Just like last week, expectations at Penn State, what do? They lose. This week, hey, if they win or they lose, there's really no huge expectation. I think they're going to win.
All right. Tom and Marion may be the only guy out there who thinks there's no expectation for the Hawks to win that game tomorrow. Ooh. I think there's a lot of fans that expect Iowa to go on the road and win that game. Now, 2 weeks ago, we were saying, yeah, that Purdue game looks tougher than Penn State. Now you drop the Penn State game, and Purdue doubles in importance. This is a team that beat Iowa last year. And you take a look. I know Rondale Moore now sounds as if there's some issues with whether or not he'll be able to be 100%. I would be surprised, very surprised, if you didn't see him tomorrow. But they're more than Rondale Moore. Sometimes it doesn't seem that way. It's going to be a good football game, I have a feeling, at Ross-Ade Stadium.
This game, even more than the next game, is going to decide whether, like you said, Todd, this season turns into a what-if season, or if they can rally and finish at 10-2 and possibly get to the Big Ten championship game. Because, you know what, I do agree that this team could be undefeated. I think they're very talented. I don't see them as a college football playoff type team. What I see them as is a team that could win the West, probably the best team in the West, talent-wise, on paper, and a team that maybe can contend on any given night against the team from the East. Probably not win, but can contend. And if they can win these next two games, and if they can beat Purdue, it starts with Purdue, they can get rid of the stigma of they have completely let their two biggest games get away from them. But if they can't, then yes, this turns into a 9-3, 8-4 type season where fans are going to be saying they couldn't win the big game. They couldn't come through when it mattered the most. And they've already lost two of those games. Can they rally and win the next two? That's all they can do. That's all they can worry about at this point.
This game is sort of the backbreaker for the preseason prediction crowd that had Iowa with this schedule going 10-2, 9-3, because you lose here and 10-2 certainly is out the window, and then 9-3 suddenly becomes the ceiling for the Hawkeyes. And who's to say that Northwestern is going to be a W? The Wildcats are a good football team. We know that. And they, like some of Iowa's best football teams, tend to play their best football later on in the season. Now, that being said, Notre Dame is going to try to soften them up a little bit this weekend. That game at Ryan Field should be a good one. We picked it on the Emil's Hideaway the pick six presented by Emil's Hideaway. I am disheartened to let everybody know I was selected first in the order today. I do not perform well from the number one pole position. I will say that right now, but thank you to the person who picked me for having confidence in my selections. I went first. Mark Dukes, Scott Unash, then Kyle, Alex, and Dave bringing up the rear, and I understand that it would have been Dave's father's 94th birthday today, Emil, as in Emil's Hideaway. So, posthumous birthday wishes there. Let's go to Brandon in Coggin. Brandon, what do the Hawks need to do to avoid a loss tomorrow?
They need to not beat themselves. That's the only reason why they lost to Wisconsin and Penn State. They beat themselves, not that the other team beat them. You know, to be honest with you, going into Penn State, I actually had Iowa winning at Penn State but losing to Purdue. But now that after last week, I'm going to go out on a ledge and say that Iowa is going to just show up and have a huge game against Purdue and beat them big. I'm saying by two scores.
Brandon and Coggin going with the Iowa wins by two scores on the road against Purdue. And I don't think he meant a safety and a field goal. I don't think 5 points would qualify. He's saying Iowa wins by 8-10 points at a minimum. I don't see that type of game tomorrow for the Hawkeyes, but I will say this. My prediction, and again, I've got Purdue winning this game, but I took into account Iowa doing some screwy things, shooting itself in the foot, throw an interception, turn the ball over. If the Hawkeyes don't do any of that stuff tomorrow, they can win that football game. I mean, it's a three-point spread, 2.5, depending on where you look at it. You get 3 points, in theory, for home field advantage. So this is a little bit of a coin flip game. I never have liked the style that Purdue plays as far as how it matches up with what Norm Parker and now Phil Parker do defensively. It just, there's going to be a moment tomorrow in that game where you're going to get a linebacker in pass coverage on one of those Purdue receivers or something, and Jeff Brohm's going to exploit it. My spidey sense is tingling. I should probably go get that looked at. John in Iowa City, what do the Hawks need to do tomorrow, John?
Oh, they need to not shoot themselves in the foot and swing the ball around the yard like they've been doing the last month. This is the time of the year whenever my faith in the Hawkeyes wanes and wavers because they started out great and now they're on that downward spiral, and I hope it doesn't continue.
So John says turn Nate Stanley loose tomorrow. What do you think of that?
I agree. And I know there are some people that want to see this offense get back to ground and pound and in ball control. And I think that that's going to be better served during a different week because I think Purdue's going to score some points. They're going up against what I believe is a top five play caller in college football in Jeff Brohm. An innovative offensive mind, an offense that did struggle last week against the athletes of Michigan State, but is going to bounce back. And Iowa's offense is going against a defense that can't stop the pass. Pat can't stop the pass, easy for me to say. Second to last in the country in that category, and can't get pressure on the quarterback. One of the biggest reasons why Stanley struggled so much last week is because he constantly had pressure in his face. I don't think that's going to be the case this week. So I do expect the pass game to play a big role if I was going to go on the road and win the game.
Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports coming up with us in just a few minutes. College basketball season is underway. Kirkwood women dropping their first game of the season today. From some exhibition finals from last night, UNI, a winner over Upper Iowa, Iowa State, rolling to victory on the women's side of things. And Kyle's going to have that and more for you on his first big board when we return after this.
Once again, DePaco Community Credit Union members are money ahead. This fall, more than 50,000 DePaco members receive shares of more than $2.6 million. How? Through Thank Yous, a DePaco-only perk that thanks members in cash for simply using their credit union services. Unlike banks, DePaco doesn't pay dividends to outside shareholders. Instead, our nonprofit cooperative structure enables us to put money directly into the pockets of our member owners. Since 2016, DePaco members have shared nearly $9 million in thank yous. Not a DePaco member? What are you waiting for? Join the local financial cooperative where your membership pays. Just visit your nearest DePaco branch or open an account online at DePaco.com. Save, borrow, invest, insure, trust. DePaco. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Opportunity.
How do you football? How about a 180-inch big screen with stadium seating and 20 beers on tap? Yeah, that's the way you football. At Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar in Uptown Marion. It's the place to go with the crew. Catch the Hawkeyes and the NFL games on Sunday Ticket, play armchair quarterback, and cheer for your fantasy players. Football, football at Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar on 7th Avenue in Uptown Marion. And weekdays after work, come in for happy hour from 3 to 6. And trivia Wednesday night at 7.
Darren College, a former NFL Super Bowl champion, signed the most important contract of his life to serve in the Army National Guard.
I've had a lot of military in my family. It's a big part of what my family's done for a long time. I want to go out there and make a difference. I didn't find that working behind a desk, so for me it was a pretty easy decision to make. And then the opportunity to serve my community and serve my country was just icing on the cake.
To learn how to be part of the Army National Guard, log on to NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
Game on!
Game on!
We're 27 minutes into the program, and I have not mentioned that it was 2 years ago today that the Chicago Cubs won their first World Series in 108 years. I don't want to be a Nebraska fan. I don't want to live in the past, but
27 minutes.
27 minutes. I set the over-under in my head at 25 minutes to remind everybody that 2 years ago tonight, Dexter Fowler led off that game with a home run. They were winning 1-0 before I even pulled into my driveway last night, 2 years ago. And now I'm thinking Drew Smyly going to the Rangers is a big news day for the Cubs 2 years later. How times change. Financial limitations are going to hinder the Cubs this offseason. That's on one hand of the argument, and then on the other hand, Bryce Harper's got a photo on Instagram today where he's wearing a Chicago Bulls hat, and the internet is going crazy. 319-366-1600. We'll talk about that with Jack Dom when he joins us for the final time this season coming up at 5:30 tonight. Right now, let's send things over to Kyle. He's been busy today. He's got a big board update ready.
The UNI men played an exhibition last night with Upper Iowa and won 82-63, led by four-star freshman and Cedar Falls native A.J. Green. He's looked fantastic in their exhibition, scoring 27 last night, shooting 11 of 19 and 4 of 9 from 3 after scoring 22 on similar numbers on Sunday. Pepperdine transfer Trey Burhau also had a double-double with 14 points and rebounds. The Iowa State women also had their first exhibition last night and beat Southwest Baptist 90-51. Bridget Carlton led with 17 points. The Cyclone men will have their first exhibition next Tuesday, and it looks like the projected lineup for that is Nick Weiler, Babb, and Lindell Wigginson in the backcourt, with Virginia transfer Mariel Shayok and four-star freshman Talon Horton-Tucker on the wings, and freshman Michael Jacobson starting in place of Cameron Lard in the post. While we're on the topic, the Iowa men have their first exhibition at Carver on Sunday, and the women on Tuesday, although they're going to be without all Big Ten selection Kathleen Doyle, who the team announced today is going to be out 4 to 6 weeks with a fracture in her left hand. The Iowa wrestling team is having a second round of wrestle-offs today, and I'm going to keep you posted on those results as they come out. We'll be hopping off the air at 6:45 today for high school quarterfinal matchups. Decorah at Xavier on the North and Main gyms. Bettendorf at Iowa City West on the South gym. Tomorrow we'll pick up coverage of Iowa State at Kansas at 9 on the Main gym before kickoff at 11. And then at 12:30 on the FMs, we'll have our Before the Boom pregame show, followed by Michigan hosting Penn State. On Sunday, it's going to be that Iowa State women's exhibition, the Texans and Broncos and Packers Pats.
And backcourt depth going to get tested for Lisa Bluter right out of the gate. Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports with us next.
This bottom-of-the-hour Sports Center update is brought to you by Alexander Lumber. They're working on a new facility that will open in early 2019. So for now, see them in their temporary location at 2802 Independence Drive in Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown with breaking news. Clayton Kershaw will not become a free agent. Instead, the Dodgers ace will get a new three-year, $93 million contract that runs through the 2021 season. Kershaw was facing a deadline today when he could have opted out of his old deal. Infielder David Fries will also re-sign with the Dodgers. He'll get a one-year, $5 million deal. The former coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson, was on First Take today, saying he should have stayed in charge of the team's offense.
We made a decision to move in a different direction, kind of let me be the CEO of the organization and bring in an offensive coordinator. When you look back at it now, you know, I wish I would have kept doing what I was doing, what got me the job in the first place.
Jackson was fired Monday along with offensive coordinator Todd Haley. The Browns will host the Chiefs on Sunday. Falcons corner Robert Alford and kicker Matt Bryant both out for Sunday against the Redskins. Alford with an ankle, Bryant with a sore hamstring. With LeBron James joining the Lakers, it would be reasonable to call for patience, but that may be running thin already. ESPN has learned Magic Johnson was critical.
Want to take your ticket buying experience to the next level? Try Vivid Seats. From the hardwood to the diamond to the gridiron and concert hall, Vivid Seats has you covered for all your ticket needs. Download the free Vivid Seats app today. Vivid Seats, the official ticket partner of ESPN.
Sometimes relocating means finding a place for your things until the new build is done. Alexander Lumber understands. In fact, they're working on a new facility that will open in early 2019. So they're working from a temporary location right now. Pardon the dust while the new yard is being built. And know that all the things you depend on Alexander Lumber for, you'll get today, tomorrow, and once their new facility opens. For now, find Alexander Lumber in their temporary location, 2802 Independence Drive in Iowa City. And next year, get ready for a whole new place.
KGYM and Smart FM are the perfect fall combination for football. All the info you need to get ready for the big game, and all the Smart Rock you need to get ready for your pregame festivities. Tailgates go better with Smart Rock from Smart FM. If you're heading to the Hawkeye game or getting together with your buddies before kickoff, Smart Rock pairs perfectly with brats, burgers, and barbecue. Next big game, prepare your pregame feast with a side of Smart Rock. From Smart FM, 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Congratulations, caller 93. You won!
Wow! Are you serious?
I absolutely am.
Oh, my gosh!
To claim your prize...
Woo!
Just pull up to the next window, please.
Woo!
Ma'am? Ma'am, can you pull up, please?
Of course.
It feels like a big win when you get a deal like this. Introducing McDonald's new $6 Classic Meal Deal. Choose one of four favorites like the Quarter Pounder with cheese, plus any size soft drink, small fries, and a pie. At participating McDonald's for a limited time. Cannot be combined with any other offers.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right? Well, with the Keep Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Video typically streams at DVD quality at 60 gigabytes. We reserve the right to review your account for usage in violation of Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
Imagining a better bank starts with looking at the savings rates most banks offer and saying, really? Capital One is building something better. You can open a Capital One savings account with one of the nation's best savings rates from anywhere, like here,
or here,
or here.
One of the nation's best savings rates. Opened online, at a Capital One location, or from anywhere. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
For consumers only. Offered by Capital One NA, member FDIC. Copyright 2018 Capital One.
Getting knocked down on the football field makes you tough. But getting back up makes you tougher. At Goodyear, we call that determination. A willingness to put in more hours, more reps, and more heart to reach a bar that's sky high. Because the Goodyear blimp doesn't show up for just anybody. So don't be just anybody. Be blimp worthy. Goodyear, more driven.
Back to the Todd Bromelcamp Show, right here on KGYM.
What the hell are you guys all dressed up for?
Welcome back in, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM with you until 7 o'clock tonight. High school playoff action on the way, all three frequencies. A busy weekend. We'll continue to break down Iowa and Purdue inside the big hour, the 6 o'clock hour. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com with us for the final 45 minutes of tonight's show. And boy, it is time now to dive back into odds and ends. Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports with us once again this weekend on KGYM. And Lee, I'm still hurting along with you from Iowa Penn State last weekend. You and I both thought the wrong team was favored in that one. Right. Penn State winds up winning. Hawkeyes are going on the road again this weekend. Purdue is favored by 3 points. Let's just dive in with the Hawks and Boilermakers.
I mean, the game plan and the play calling by both teams, just not very good last week, Purdue and also Iowa. So both off excruciating losses here. I thought they were the best one-loss team in the country. I'll stick with the theme here. I think they're the best two-loss team in the country here. Number 5 scoring defense, number 3 total defense. How about this? The guest is 36-15 against the spread in Purdue games. And the series visitor 8-0 against the spread in the series here. Pressure is off now for Iowa, and that's when they do their best work here. I think it'll go back and forth for a while, but I think Iowa comes out on top 34-27.
The team that Iowa lost to last weekend, Penn State, has to go on the road with a hobbled Trace McSorley to take on the number 5 team in the first college football playoff rankings, the Michigan Wolverines. They are 10-point underdogs. What do you think about this one?
Pressure's on Michigan. I mean, Penn State has absolutely nothing to lose here. So this line should be probably 7.5 in my opinion, not 10.5, 11. Last 4 games here, Penn State's had some squeakers back and forth either way, 4 points most or less, or every game 6 points or less. Trace McSorley, he's going to find a way to do it, even if he has to do it on one leg. Now he's got some help, redshirt freshman receiver K.J. Hamler coming on, Miles Sanders averaging 6 yards per carry here. And how about this? We saw in Green Bay, you give them an extra week to prepare. They almost beat the Rams. Michigan and Jim Harbaugh, if he wants to count himself as one of the top coaches, got to do something after the bye. How about this? 0-6 off of a bye in his career here. Michigan can stuff the bad or injured offenses. Penn State is neither. Penn State wins on talent alone here and being at home, 24-20, but I like Penn State plus the points.
There's another big game in the Big Ten this weekend. We'll get to it at the end of the segment, but let's transition to the Big 12 right now with Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. Iowa State going on the road to Lawrence, Kansas. Not exactly a football powerhouse, and that's why the Cyclones are a 2-touchdown favorite in this one.
Yeah, and Kansas outplayed last week by TCU. Outstatted by 200 yards. Out first down, 27-17. But the difference was a 2-0 turnover advantage here for the Jayhawks. And Kansas quarterback Peyton Bender, 3 pretty darn good games for this kid. I don't think much of him, but Peyton Bender, I think, is due for a bender here. They don't have a running game here. He has a trouble. He loses linebackers in coverage. So doesn't throw many interceptions to cornerbacks, but a lot of linebackers who he doesn't see in the coverage, and that might be his problem here because Iowa State likes to vary their coverages. I just think Montgomery will have a big game here against Kansas running the football. David Beatty's not safe yet. Iowa State big, 45-20.
Lee, today is the 10-year anniversary of the Graham Harrell and Michael Crabtree hookup that put Texas Tech over the Texas Longhorns in that yeah. ball game. These two teams square off once again in Lubbock. Oklahoma all of a sudden right back in the mix for a college football playoff spot, and they're 11-point favorites on the yep. road.
OU defense has been fine since that Texas debacle, but let's look at who they played. They played TCU and Kansas State. I mean, these are two lightweights on offense. Texas Tech defense, after giving up 40-plus points 4 times, the next game after those games, less than 20 points here. I think they're going to be up for the challenge. They did hold Oklahoma State to just 17 points on the road. Texas Tech not out of the Big 12 race yet at 3-2. OU's 4-1. Texas and West Virginia 4-1. Something tells me it's probably going to come down to the last week and last set of games to decide it here. And I just think Texas Tech quarterback Alan Bowman will bounce back off of those 3 interceptions last week. I like to play quarterbacks not the first week back, the second week back. Oklahoma's going to win 48-45, but give me Tech plus the 10.
How about Texas and West Virginia? This is a pretty compelling matchup here.
It is, you know, and I think I know West Virginia pretty well. To beat them, you need to control the line of scrimmage and run the football. Texas did it last year. They ran for 233 yards in that 28-14 win. And I think you need to probably run for 170 to 180. I think that's the magic number to get a win against West Virginia. You got to keep Will Grier off the field. If he gets behind 10, 14 points, Will Grier will take some chances, and that's where he'll turn the ball over here. And Iowa State, they kept to that formula, and they won the game. Texas quarterback Sam Erlinger, healthy again. You know, those late suspensions where they held guys out for the first quarter and first half really hurt that Texas team last week. They fell behind 17-0, but they did come back. They battled to the end here. And this is the time when West Virginia, usually we see the swoon. West Virginia also 1-7 as a road underdog. Texas is favored by 2. I have them winning by 4, 31-27.
I know you didn't send any NFL games over to us on the sheet this weekend, but a pretty good weekend of games. We got some big showdowns, including Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that's going to be a showdown. Two of the top five quarterbacks maybe of all time here. You know, maybe the difference here is home field, and Tom Brady just doesn't seem to lose many home games. But I think the Packers can hang in this game. They have the fourth-rated offense, the ninth-rated defense, and the Patriots, on, if you look at the numbers, not very good. 11th-rated offense, 25th-rated defense. So maybe guys like Aaron Jones, the running back, who they picked up in the draft last year for Green Bay. They finally have a running game. And, you know, how about Blake Martinez, the linebacker for Green Bay, 24 tackles the last 2 weeks. I think the GOAT, Tom Brady, gets it done with the last drive. They win 31-30, but I'll take Green Bay plus the 6.5.
Your game of the week this week, a Big Ten game, but it's a non-conference Big Ten game. Big showdown, Notre Dame. The only thing standing between the Irish and the college football playoffs is this weekend's trip to Ryan Field in Northwestern. 8-point spread in this one. How do folks get that and more from you?
Well, we're going to find out if Notre Dame just keeps rolling on, or can Northwestern, one of the greatest underdog teams in the country the last 15 years. You want to get this game for free? Just call 800-400-9741. First 10 callers get it for free, 800-400-9741. And how about this roll? Our three big games last week, our 30 to 35 unit plays, all games win. And now, since the start of the 2017 football season, 58-24 on these 30 to 35 unit plays. And it gets even bigger this week. We'll have two to three more of those 30 to 35 unit plays, plus a 45 unit college football game of the year on Saturday. And on these games, 40 to 50 units, we're 35-13 going back the last 10 plus seasons. So if you want to hop on board, use coupon code SAVE200. Get a 5-week package. A lot of people call this month November. We call it Dovember. 5 weeks of games, just $397. Just use coupon code SAVE200, ParamountSports.com, or call the office, 800-400-9741.
Until next Friday. Thanks, Lee.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Give him a follow on Twitter, at Paramount Sports. And there you have it. I backed off of Iowa this weekend. I took Purdue to win the game. Lee says, give me more Hawkeyes on the road. The best two-loss team in the country. Also, loving Iowa State over Kansas. 45-20, no worries there on that double-digit point spread.
Is Iowa State the best three-loss team in the country?
We didn't get him to say that, but maybe he thinks it. I think that pick had more to do with the opponent. That pick was more as he went into explicit detail, not about David Montgomery and the Cyclones, but pretty explicit detail about how bad Kansas is. Any way you slice it, it's a pretty tremendous week of football in college and the NFL. And that Notre Dame-Northwestern game, he's got a point there. Northwestern, for the better part of the last decade, when they are an underdog, they tend to cover. And when they're a big-time favorite, they tend to let you down. I love... A couple people listen to this program know my history with the Northwestern Wildcats. It's a love-hate relationship, mostly love from the good old days. There was a time when I actually owned a Northwestern sweatshirt and would proudly wear it because the Cats were very, very good to me back in my 20s. When
you bought
I was
a shirt because of that?
You bet, man. I was a big Northwestern fan for the longest time. So I'm a huge Tim Doyle fan, and it has nothing to do with the fact that he's now in the media. Notre Dame, an 8-point favorite on the road. Again, the only thing standing between the Irish and the college football playoffs is this game. You look at the rest of Notre Dame's schedule, they don't play anybody else. This is it. And this is also the type of game, we've seen it a million times before from Pat Fitzgerald and the Wildcats. They always seem to rise to the occasion. They did it earlier this year against Wisconsin when they completely destroyed the Badgers. And I don't think that that's necessarily on tap. As a matter of fact, I've got Notre Dame winning this game by 10 points. I've got Notre Dame going on the road and covering. I don't feel really good about it, though. Again,
I do.
You dance with the devil, you're going to get burned. And you dance against Northwestern when they're getting 8 points at home. Sometimes you can get burned on that.
But it's a non-conference game.
That's your basis?
Northwestern and non-conference games, they're terrible.
Yeah, but they're normally playing like Duke or Bowling Green.
And they're losing to Duke and Bowling Green. Imagine right. Well, what happens again, when they play the number four team in the country.
Again, I'm speaking from experience here. They play down to the teams that they're favored, and they play up to the teams that they are not favored to beat. Should be a good one this weekend. That is, I think, a 6:30 kickoff. It's the late game in the Big Ten. Speaking of kickoffs, Iowa and Purdue, 2:30 tomorrow at Ross-Ade Stadium in West Lafayette. That means 106.3 and 107.5 FM at 12:30 tomorrow. The place to be for Before the Boom, the KGYM roundtable discussion of all things Hawkeyes and Boilermakers. Tune in. Don't miss it. And if you missed any of our predictions on the Pick 6 presented by Emil's Hideaway, we'll rehash them for you tomorrow as well during our picks, the last segment on Before the Boom. We'll take a quick timeout. We've still got Rob Howe on the way. We'll catch up one final time with Jack Dom touching all the bases. Lots of free agent moves today. The Cubs making some news with some returns to the roster, including Cole Hamels. We'll get Jack's thoughts on that. Kyle's going to have a big board update for you when we return after this.
There was a time when you knew the name of the grocer, the banker, and the tailor. Simpler days when a rotary telephone was the most advanced communication device anyone had. That's the world Hertine and Stocker Jewelers opened its doors to back in the 1940s. A bustling downtown with friends stopping in to browse, buy, or just say hello. And no matter how busy a shop might be, you were always warmly greeted and well taken care of. Willa Dickens began working with customers in those distant days, and he raised his boys Terry and Tim to understand that it was the way you made people feel that genuinely made a difference. You'll sense it when you step into Hertine and Stocker Jewelers. Even though you'll be surrounded by today's most beautiful jewelry, you'll recognize the lost art of service that has been carefully maintained. Come see what's in those famous windows at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers on the corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in Iowa City. And be sure to stop in and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Let's go, Hawks! Let's go, Hawks! Let's go, Hawks!
Cheer on the black and gold in your black and gold from BravoSportsMarketing.com. BravoSportsMarketing.com has everything you need as a true Hawkeye fanatic, including the brand new Kirk Ferentz Winningest Coach poster in two sizes, game day apparel, football ticket packages, and the popular America Needs Farmers gear. When it comes to a complete Kinnick experience, BravoSportsMarketing.com is the only place you'll find Hawkeye Village ticket and tailgate packages. These packages have everything you need for a premium tailgate, including an all-you-can-eat and drink buffet with beer, wine, and soft drinks, musical entertainment, and more. Hawkeye Village packages are currently available for the remaining home games. BravoSportsMarketing.com also has some game tickets without the tailgate package. BravoSportsMarketing.com. Over 20 years of authentic Hawkeye gear for serious Hawkeye fans.
Don't miss your chance to save big during Menards pre-Black Friday sale. Breathe cleaner air with DuPont air filters. Buy one plus 8,000 allergen air filter at $7.99 and get one free. Get the best one coat paint and primer in one. Paramount is $28.98 per gallon after rebate. A 7-inch Android tablet is $39.99. Save $50 on Hitachi cordless drill and work light kit, $49. Get these great offers plus many more through Sunday, November 4th during Menards pre-Black Friday sale.
Save big money at Menards.
High school football playoffs roll on into the quarterfinal round this Friday night on KGYM. Hi, this is Scott Unash. Join John Hagerty, Jeff Moss, and me Friday at 6:45 for a Class 3A quarterfinal as number one Xavier hosts number 10 Decorah. It's a rematch of a Week 2 game, which the Saints won handily. Since then, the Vikings have won 7 straight, and the stakes are much higher this time around. That's Class 3A quarterfinal playoff football. Number 10, Decorah at number 1, Xavier. Friday night at 6:45 on 1600 AM and 107.5 FM, KGYM.
Back to the Todd Bottlecamp Show, right here on KGYM.
Look at this guy, so hopped up on goofballs and grass, he's got no idea what's going on.
Your chance to take home a brand new watch from Hertine and Stocker Jewelers in Iowa City, just minutes away. 319-366-1600, the number you'll need. But first, Kyle's going to bring you a big board update.
The UNI men played an exhibition last night with Upper Iowa and won 82-63, led by four-star freshman and Cedar Falls native A.J. Green. He's looked fantastic in their exhibition, scoring 27 last night, shooting 11 of 19 and 4 of 9 from 3 after scoring 22 on similar numbers on Sunday. Pepperdine transfer Trey Burhau also had a double-double with 14 points and rebounds. The Iowa State women also had their first exhibition last night and beat Southwest Baptist 90-51. Bridget Carlton led with 17 points. The Cyclone men will have their first exhibition next Tuesday, and it looks like the projected lineup for that is going to be Nick Weiler-Babb and Lindell Wigginton in the backcourt, with Virginia transfer Mariel Shayok and four-star freshman Talon Horton-Tucker on the wings, and freshman Michael Jacobson starting in place of Cameron Lard in the post. While we're on the topic, the Iowa men have their first exhibition at Carver on Sunday, and the women on Tuesday, although they're going to be without all Big Ten selection Kathleen Doyle, who the team announced today is going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks with a fracture in her left hand. The Iowa wrestling team is having a second round of wrestle-offs today, and I'm going to keep you posted on those results after they come out. We'll be hopping off the air at 6:45 today for high school quarterfinal matchups. Decorah at Xavier on the North and Main gyms, and Bettendorf and Iowa City West on the South gym. Tomorrow, we'll pick up coverage of Iowa State at Kansas at 9 on the Main gym before kickoff at 11. And then at 12:30 on the FMs, we'll have our Before the Boom pregame show, followed by Michigan hosting Penn State. On Sunday, we'll carry that Iowa State women's exhibition, the Texans and Broncos and Packers Pats.
Who among us has never made a stupid mistake before?
Everyone
it's a rhetorical
has.
Question. Exactly. Everybody has. And I was reading with great gusto a story earlier today in the Chicago Tribune about a baggage handler who accidentally fell asleep on a plane in the Kansas City terminal and woke up while the plane was midair between Kansas City and Chicago.
In the baggage area of the plane?
In the cargo hold, yes, which is apparently heated and pressurized for the pets that travel.
Okay.
So luckily, he was able to survive the entire ordeal. The stupid mistake stems from the fact that he was out, and this is what he told authorities, drinking and smoking pot the night before and went to bed at 10 o'clock at night. And then had to be at the airport for his job at, I believe it was 4 a.m. the next day. So he gets a couple hours of sleep, shows up. He's loading bags on the plane.
No, he was doing more than drinking and smoking pot.
And then just decides, hey, I'm going to take a little cat nap, probably with cats. I don't know. It's pressurized for the pets and everything. And then the next thing you know, wakes up midair. So he hangs out by the door. And when the plane lands at O'Hare in Chicago and the ground crew opens the door, he steps. He's 20 years old. They don't name him in the story because he didn't get charged with anything. The authorities were like, oh, cool. We're cool with it. Not a terrorist. Nothing bad here. You had a little fun last night. You partied hard and tried to take a nap at work. No big deal. Put him on the next plane to Kansas City.
It was a conscious decision of his to take a nap on the plane. It wasn't just him falling asleep.
I have a hard time believing that he would be just standing 1 minute and then keel over. So, yeah, he must have decided, hey.
So let me rest my eyes in the, what do you call it, the cargo?
Yeah.
It's
a big,
cargo area.
Big area. He's loading bags, probably got exhausted. And
of all the places that you could possibly take a quick nap,
I'm guessing it's dark in there.
One of the worst.
I'm guessing it's pretty dark. Maybe comfy. I don't know. He does. I'm sure he probably is looking for a new job right now, but that just gives him more time to do the things that he enjoys, apparently, like drinking and doing drugs. 4:54. I know what time that is because I'm looking at my watch, and you can take a watch off our hands as well. As a matter of fact, it's our last one of the week. Hartine and Stocker Jewelers bringing us an opportunity to remind everybody to fall back this weekend. Daylight savings time is upon us. And if you're caller number six right now to 319-366-1600, you're going to take our last watch home. A big thank you to Hartine and Stocker. We do this twice a year, once in the spring, once in the fall. Don't forget, set those clocks back an hour before you go to bed. 319-366-1600. Lots more to get to on the program today, including Love It or Leave It, which is coming up next. Jack Dom is going to stop by for his final segment of the year, touching all the bases. We'll close the book on another season of Major League Baseball. And Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com with us inside an abbreviated big hour brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement tonight, 6 until 6:45, and then we give way to the high school football playoff. Cedar Rapids Xavier hosting Decorah, and Iowa City West hosting Bettendorf tonight. Those are the games coming your way on 106.3 FM, 107.5 FM, 1600 AM. You can also listen online or on your smartphone if you've got the KGYM app. Download it. It's free. Speaking of online, why don't you head over to kgymradio.com and vote in our poll question. We give you four options. There are some good football games to look forward to this weekend, including Green Bay and New England. Not too often that those two teams go head-to-head. Which game are you most looking forward to this weekend from the college and professional ranks? The poll question is brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Find him on First Avenue Southeast, behind Taco John's, and next to the Home Depot. Which game on that list are you most looking forward to? You've got the Packers and the Patriots.
I think
Saints Rams.
This is that one right there.
LSU and Alabama.
Saints Rams
and Northwestern Notre Dame.
We'll get to LSU Alabama. That's a close second, but two of the more innovative minds in the sport, Sean Payton, sort of the elder statesman, against the new guy on the block, and Sean McVay, who's taking the league by storm.
Whom you were for Halloween earlier this week.
Because I couldn't put together a costume, so I just was lazy and went with that. But yes, I was. So I'm excited for that game. And
some call it lazy. I call it innovative. Thinking on his feet. Just throw a pullover on.
Headset, pullover. Yeah. Got a beard.
Yeah, he
already
comes in and goes down the hall to management and says, do we have any like broken headsets laying around? I'm thinking, what is he up to? And then I know Alex even carried the card around with him.
Yep, put it in my back pocket.
Held it up over his mouth a couple times when he was talking to Kyle. It was an interesting Halloween this week around the KGYM facilities. 366-1600. Congratulations, by the way, to Derek in Cedar Rapids, the winner of our Hartine and Stocker watch tonight. Love It or Leave It kicks off hour number two next.
Here comes my best man speech. Madison, at first, I wasn't sure if you were right for the position. Were you going to punch his ticket to the playoffs or send him home packing?
Ever since he switched to DirecTV, he only talks in college football metaphors.
It's that 4K, that high-quality footage. It changes a man.
Were you a walk-on All-American or a one-trick play?
Quit cable. No one has more college football in 4K than DirecTV. More for your college football thing. That's our thing. Visit DirecTV.com for details.
With entertainment package or higher, limited 4K programming available. 4K equipment required. Other conditions apply.
Before you start your next project, save big on the Craftsman 51-piece mechanics tool set at Lowe's. Includes drive tools, sockets, extension, and a 120-tooth ratchet with a 3-degree arc swing, perfect for tight spaces. Backed by a lifetime warranty, it's only $59.98, so you save $20. Get your hands on one today at Lowe's, the new home of Craftsman. Offer valid October 31st through November 7th, while supplies last. See store for details. U.S. only.
Hey guys, is it time to get your hair in the game?
Time to claim your spot!
Then it's time to check in online at sportclips.com/check-in for a fresh cut, legendary hot steam towel, and massaging shampoo. So do your hair a favor by checking in online and arrive just in time for your Sport Clips MVP haircut experience while you surround yourself with sports on TV. Get in line online at sportclips.com/check-in.
Time to claim your spot!
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. Dodgers pitcher Clayton Kershaw will sign a three-year, $93 million contract extension. The new deal will replace and extend the 2 years remaining on his old contract. The Cubs today pick up the $20 million option on lefty Cole Hamels for next year. Hamels came to the Cubs in a July trade with the Rangers. The Oakland Raiders are now 1-7 under John Gruden after taking a 34-3 loss to the 49ers last night. ESPN's Lewis Riddick believes the Raiders are not playing with passion.
We understand that when a new coach comes in, he's going to kind of want his players and want to build a team in his mold and his image. But you can't sacrifice the short term to a degree where you just get embarrassed on national TV and your football team looks as though they don't believe you believe in them. So why should they believe in you? Why should they give maximum effort? Because there's no other way to really explain the performance last night other than a football team that just looks unplugged.
Lewis Riddick on Golic and Wingo. 49ers running back Raheem Mostert and corner Emmanuel Mosley will both miss the rest of the season. Mostert with a broken arm. Mosley with a dislocated
shoulder.
Coming
up on Monday, we'll break down the Pack and the Pats, Mahomes and Baker reuniting, and all of Week 9 in the NFL. Plus, what does the outcome of Alabama-LSU mean for the college rankings? And who won the weekend? Golic and Wingo, Monday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
The holidays are coming, and the tools and the savings that come with them are already here at the Home Depot. If someone on your Christmas list would like some new tools from top brands like Milwaukee, Ryobi, DeWalt, Makita, Husky, or Ridgid, make their wish come true and do it with savings that stretch your holiday shopping even further. This is how you gear up for Christmas. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing.
Hey, I'm Clark. I work at the drugstore, and I hate my job. People are always asking me these annoying questions like, will this soap dry my skin out? Can you unlock the razor case? Will you please ring me up? I'm not like a soap-having ring-up keymaster wizard, okay? Just buy all your bathroom stuff at DollarShaveClub.com. They'll deliver all your bathroom stuff, so you don't have to come to my store and bother me when I'm trying to text my girlfriend's friend.
Right now, get our three most popular grooming products and our best razor for just $5. Only at DollarShaveClub.com/radio. That's DollarShaveClub.com/radio.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right? Well, with the Keep Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Video typically streams at DVD quality at 60 gigabytes. We reserve the right to review your account for usage in violation of Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
I'm Ari Wolf with the NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Saints rookie defensive end Marcus Davenport is expected to miss about a month with a toe injury, according to NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport. NFL Network's James Slater adds that Davenport's right foot is in a boot. Many question why the Lions would move their leading receiver at the trade deadline Tuesday. Wednesday, head coach Matt Patricia said it was made in the best interest of the team moving forward, saying, quote, it's the whole picture. The Jaguars on a bye this week, but they did make a move. Jacksonville signing Landry Jones Wednesday. The veteran quarterback brought in as a backup plan now that Blake Bortles is dealing with a shoulder injury. According to NFL Network's Tom Pelissero, it's nothing serious. Bortles is expected to be available when the Jags return to action week 10 against the Colts. And still not available for the Dolphins due to his own shoulder issues is Ryan Tannehill. He's been ruled out for the fourth straight week. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Napa know-how.
Right now, Napa has 5-quart jugs of Pennzoil or Valvoline full synthetic motor oil for $23.99. That's one heck of a deal for all-weather engine protection. So whether you're driving in Phoenix, Arizona, Duluth, Minnesota, or down the street to the grocery store, the right oil for your ride is just $23.99. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer ends 12/31/18.
And now, a thought from Geico Motorcycle.
It took 15 minutes to purchase the gas station egg salad. Eat the gas station egg salad. And regret the gas station egg salad as you presented numbers to the board. To add insult to injury, you could have used those 15 egg salad minutes to switch your motorcycle insurance to GEICO.
Uh-oh.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on motorcycle insurance.
Back to the Todd Brabelcamp Show, right here on KGYM.
Hang on just a sec. Let me settle in, and I'll be right back.
5:05, hour number two, drive time, driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com underway as we make our way towards 6:45 tonight on all three frequencies, 1600 AM, our historic main gym, also on the FM dial, 106.3 in Iowa City, 107.5 in Cedar Rapids. Welcome back in. Todd and Alex with you on a busy night of high school football action. Couple playoff games coming your way. Kyle's going to fill you in on those coming up at the bottom of the hour with his next big board update. Jack Dom with us at the bottom of the hour as well. Our final baseball segment of the season, touching all the bases. Lots of comings and goings as far as free agency today. Teams making a decision on whether or not to exercise options, bring players back, where to put them on the roster, what to do with them. Clayton Kershaw staying with the Dodgers. They get an extension worked out. And, well, I don't want to spoil the fun of our next segment because there's going to be a baseball-related topic or two that pops up. So let's get to it.
If you don't love it, leave it. Let the song that I'm singing be a warning.
Two choices, one answer.
We either love it or we leave it.
It's okay. Ricky gave us permission to do this.
So we want to make sure moving forward that we have the okay to call that segment Love It or Leave It. Since you're sort of the owner.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Number one.
Alex, a chance to change the stigma.
I love this. I mean, I don't think that anything other than our number one of our program illustrates the way that people feel about this Iowa football season more than our first segment. A lot of people realize that this has been a good season for the Iowa Hawkeyes. They're 6-2. They're 16th in the college football playoff rankings. But it hasn't been a great season because of the way that they have executed at the most important times so far. And every caller that we have had into this program, our number one, the first half of our number one, brought up the fact that if Iowa wants to go into West Lafayette, they can't beat themselves. They have to play clean football. And they have to play clean football in pressure-packed situations, which they have not done this season. Wisconsin, it was a comedy of errors late in that game that led to that loss. There was that Penn State was not an exception to that rule. But the good news is everything is still in front of them, and they have another chance in a big game. Let's not act like this is a huge game. It is an elimination game in the Big Ten West. Iowa's going on the road. They're 3-point underdogs. They have a chance these next 2 weeks to change the stigma of this season and their inability to execute down the stretch, win a couple of games against solid football teams, get to Indianapolis, maybe with a little bit of help, and win, go 10-2, and everybody will, I think, for the most part, give them somewhat of a pass for the way that the Wisconsin and Penn State games ended. If they can't do that, if they continue their execution or lack thereof late in these next two games, then people are going to start saying, what if, when referring to the 2018 season.
Number two.
Flat Stanley, I'm going to leave this. It's what helped lead Iowa to a loss at Penn State last weekend, and if they're looking to avoid the same outcome tomorrow in West Lafayette, they need Nate Stanley to come out with a little fizzle. They don't need Flat Stanley. They need the Nathan Stanley that we've seen at times this season. And I'll echo back to what one of the callers said in hour number one. Turn him loose. Let him make plays. Let him get some confidence back. That being said, Purdue is going to dial up the intensity defensively. They know that he's injured. I don't know exactly the extent of the thumb injury, but they're going to come gunning for him. I'm not saying they're trying to knock him out of the game, but they're going to try to make life as uncomfortable as possible for Nathan Stanley tomorrow. And that's where a couple things come into play. Can you get the run game going when you've got guys
that are trying to get into your backfield? And can you get a little bit of Stanley's confidence back? It looked, I don't know why, but it looked like he was actually more confident late in the game when he had to make plays and when they had to sort of turn him loose. And that was after he injured his thumb. If Iowa's going to win this game tomorrow, they cannot have a flat Stanley. It works two ways. You got to keep him off his back, obviously, but you also have to have him performing at the level that I think most people realize he can perform at.
Number three.
Tua Much.
The big game tomorrow in college football. The number one team in the country, Alabama, number one by a lot. The number three team in the country, LSU. Alabama has to go into Death Valley. They're 14.5-point favorites, and I think that they cover. I look at the matchups, and I really am one of those people that doesn't think that the second-best team in college football is all that close to Alabama. They have the second-best offense in college football, according to total offense, that statistic. They have a top-five defense in the country, and they have been untested so far this season. I do believe that Tua Tagovailoa finally plays into the fourth quarter for the first time this season. I think that LSU has the athletes to offer up some resistance to the Alabama offense. But when you see teams beat Alabama in the past, they are teams that do something different, that spread them out, that get their athletes in space, not teams that try to beat them at their ground and pound game, which they have become famous for, which they have been the best at for over a decade now under Nick Saban. So I think that LSU is a good team, but I expect more of the same, somewhere around 38-7 tomorrow, a victory for the Alabama Crimson Tide.
38-7.
Number four.
Financial limitations.
Financial limitations. Get the hell out of here. I'm going to leave this. That's my Stephen A. See, I went from an Ed Orgeron right into Stephen A. Smith. I'm like the Rich Little of Eastern Iowa here. You kids may have to Google him if you're under the age of 55. The Chicago Cubs, it's being reported by a number of reputable sources, Ken Rosenthal among them, Patrick Mooney at The Athletic, may be limited in what they can do this offseason because of financial limitations. This comes on the heels of reporting earlier today that the Cleveland Indians are looking at trading a number of their veteran players, including Corey Kluber, because, well, financial limitations. I don't know about you, but I don't own a professional sports franchise. Multimillionaires do. And multimillionaires are citing financial limitations as the reason that they're not spending a couple extra million dollars here and there. I'm not buying this, and I don't think that the public should either. And I know Cub fans are frustrated about this because for the last part of 2.5-3 seasons, we've been hearing nothing but talk of a Cubs network TV deal. 2020, they're going to have their own network. They're going to be swimming in cash. It's going to be like Jim Delaney and the Big Ten Network. It's going to be amazing. They're going to have all this money to spend. I go to Wrigley Field. We did that bus trip back in May. Everybody's spending $10 a beer. You're going to tell me you charge $10 a cup for Old Style and you're facing financial limitations this offseason? That trade they made today, by the way, they send Drew Smyly to the Rangers to offset the money that it cost in the Cole Hamels deal, which was made at the deadline in case they didn't pick up his option for next season, which the Cubs have. They are right on the threshold of the luxury tax, which I think is projected to be $204, $206 million payroll next season. Pay the tax. Spend the money. The Cleveland Indians, it's one thing for teams to tank, okay? Bad teams to say, we're going to play bad baseball. But you've got the Indians who won the division they play in last year, now saying, you know what? It's going to be to our advantage to look to trade some of these pieces for younger guys who are years away from the major leagues. Division winners in baseball are now talking about being stricken with financial limitations. This is not good for the sport of baseball. I can tell you that right now. When teams like the Cubs and the Indians are talking about financial limitations, again, these teams are all owned by millionaires. The average sports franchise over the last decade has gone up in value at least 10%. The average. These guys are making millions and millions and millions, and they don't want to spend any. Don't fall for it. Leave it.
Number five.
Gruden's delusion.
I just couldn't believe what I was seeing last night, watching Nick Mullins in his first start as a San Francisco 49er dissect the Oakland Raiders defense and realize that in 2016, this Oakland team was a Derek Carr injury away from being one of the Super Bowl favorites going into the playoffs. A 12-4 regular season team, a team that lost in the wild card round because Connor Cook was starting at quarterback for them. And just to think, 2 years later, how far they have fallen. Now, I know that some part of this falls on the management and Reggie McKenzie and what Jack Del Rio did in his final year. But Jack Del Rio, a defensive-minded coach, had this offense playing 100 times better than the quote-unquote offensive guru that John Gruden has become. And it's laughable, or that he claims he is, I should say. It's laughable the way that he is doubling down on his ridiculous statement saying that players are dying to come play for him and that he's going to build a championship team in Oakland. Here's the problem with the Oakland Raiders right now. They're out-coached, they're out-schemed, and they have somebody wanting to run the organization from a personnel standpoint that isn't fit to do it. This isn't 1998. Spider 2Y Banana doesn't work over and over and over again. And it just seems like they have this television star who was absolutely great up in the booth on Monday Night Football, who is trying to run his team the way that he sort of portrayed himself as a television star. It's just not working. And this team has gotten so bad, and I could not believe how bad the Oakland Raiders actually were until last night when Nick Mullins, a guy who taught himself how to take a snap under center by watching a YouTube video, threw for 267 yards against that defense. So the Gruden delusion, I leave it.
Number six.
Bryce Harper, king of trolls.
Bryce Harper is the king of the trolls. I am convinced of this. I mentioned this back in the 4 o'clock hour. A portion of Twitter is losing its mind today because on Instagram, he was photographed with his, I believe it's his wife. I think he's married. Wife, girlfriend. She's wearing a Las Vegas Golden Knights hat. That makes sense. Bryce Harper's from Las Vegas. He's wearing a Chicago Bulls hat. And so a portion of Cubs fans online think that this is a hidden signal that Bryce Harper, he's done stuff like this before. And he's friends with Chris Bryant. I think he'd like to play with Chris Bryant, but I don't think that he's going to give any indication on where he's going to wind up this offseason. If you believe the odds makers in Las Vegas, they've got the Phillies as the favorite. They've got a ton of money to throw at either Harper or Machado. He's been he's had a Blackhawks t-shirt on and another photograph that somebody dug up from a while ago. Bryce Harper is the king of the trolls. In the 21st century, some people enjoy poking the bear. And this is Bryce Harper poking the bear. He loves to get a reaction out of the internet. And by doing stuff like this, it gets a reaction. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw him wearing a Philadelphia 76ers jersey or hat or something along those lines. Maybe he holds a little plush gritty doll or something for the Flyers fans. I don't know, but he is the king of the trolls. All hail Bryce Harper, king of the trolls. Leave it.
Number seven.
Maryland faithful.
I love this. It has been a tough week for the Big Ten because of the embarrassing nature of what we saw from the Maryland Board of Regents and their press conference on Tuesday, and then the about-face that Wallace Lowe and the the president of the school took on Wednesday, first to keep DJ Durkin, then to fire him, and just the amount of press that this has gotten it's been hard to watch, because at the same time you realize that a 19-year-old kid, Jordan McNair, is never coming back. But I will say this, in 2018, especially in college sports, but this is for pretty much any landscape, political, what have you, any group of people, there's this tendency of, as long as a group of people can, or a person in power, people in power can convince their base that something is correct, that it's them against the rest of the world, that it seems to be sort of a rallying cry, no matter if the message is right or wrong, as long as that person in power can convince their base that it is the correct answer, they can get away with anything. Ask Ohio State, ask Penn State, to a certain extent, ask Michigan State. But the difference in this case was the Maryland fan base, the Maryland faithful, they didn't fall for that message. The student body president started a petition to have DJ Durkin fired. The governor of the state reached out and sent out a message saying that Wallace Lowe needs to reevaluate his decision to support the Board of Regents decision. Scott Van Pelt, a very famous Maryland alum who was outstanding on ESPN, has had several rants on his show saying that he is embarrassed with the decision-making and the steps taken and the lack of transparency by the Board of Regents in this case. And that is why DJ Durkin has been fired. Because if it was just outside noise and other fan bases were bashing them, they wouldn't care. But their own fan base stood up and said, this is not right. And that's why a change was made. So I credit the Maryland fans and sort of the backers of that program for standing up with for what is right in this situation.
Number 8.
George Kittle loves your fantasy football team.
Yes, he does. I'm going to love this. He's talked about standing up for fantasy football owners prior to last night's game. He did it a couple weeks ago when a play was under review. And if you thought he didn't love your fantasy football team, well, you needed to watch last night. Thursday Night Football, 71-yard grab in quadruple coverage, almost turns that into a touchdown, scores later on in the game. George Kittle emerging as one of the top tight ends in the National Football League. He's right up there in the discussion along with Rob Gronkowski and Travis Kelce. It is absolutely crazy to think of how far he's come, just 1 year removed, one plus years removed from playing with the Hawkeyes. Love it, and love, of course, what he did for my team last night, because I'm playing my former co-host in our league.
Number 9.
He's still projected to win, by the way. UCF is not the best group of five team.
I love this. I almost had that.
You know, they covered last
that
night.
That upset sniffed out, but a backdoor cover. Really, I hope nobody took the advice of myself. I think UCF is a good team. They're undefeated. They're a good group of five team. I said last week they don't deserve to be ranked number 12. They don't deserve any recognition for a college football playoff spot simply because this team isn't as good as they were last year. And if you didn't watch the game last night, they gave up over 670 yards of offense to Temple, the most yards Temple has ever gained in a college football game. The most ever. Their defense is a sieve, and the thought of them playing one of the better teams in college football, a Georgia, an Alabama, a Clemson, those teams would run for 400-plus yards against them. They are not the best group of five team because Utah State, the Aggies, are. I thought Utah State should be 8-0 at this point. They should have beaten Michigan State in week one, and they have been dominant ever since. They went into Provo and destroyed a BYU team that went on the road and beat Wisconsin earlier in the year. They beat Air Force. They have dominated in the 7 games since they lost to Michigan State, and I think they are the most well-rounded group of five team offensively and defensively. I think there may be a couple more. Appalachian State is in the discussion. Fresno State also in the discussion. I'm just not a believer in this 2018 version of UCF, and I think that all of the slings and arrows going towards them are founded, and the fact that they're even ranked 12th at this point is all based on name recognition.
Number 10.
2 years and a million years ago.
2 years ago tonight, the Chicago Cubs ended the most famous championship drought in all of sports. 108 years of futility ended after a rain delay and a speech from Jason Hayward. A lot of other stuff happened along the way, too, like a leadoff home run from Dexter Fowler. But ain't nobody got time for that because it feels like a million years ago. Does it not, Cubs fans? It's only been 2 years, and here we are complaining about not making it to the World Series for the last two seasons and facing financial limitations this offseason. I don't know. I don't know where to go with this. I really don't. 2 years is not really in the grand scheme of things all that long ago, and yet it does feel like it's been a million years since the Cubs won the World Series. I'm going to go home tonight, and I'm going to pop that Blu-ray in, and I am going to relive every excruciating moment of that game, right down to the Rajay Davis home run, in which I thought I had personally jinxed the Cubs to another 108 years of futility with my newborn son on my lap at home at the time. And then things take a turn for the better. Spoiler alert, they win the game. They won the World Series. It was only 2 years ago. We're going to talk a little bit about this with Jack Dom coming up at the bottom of the hour, because the Cubs, citing financial limitations, may or may not make some big moves this offseason. And if they don't, where's the mindset of the fan base after another quote-unquote frustrating 95-win season? I know people are getting tired of hearing about it. I'm tired of talking about it. Leave it.
Ask Raiders fans what 2 years may feel like. I'm trying to make you feel better here.
Ask a lot of fans.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah. But you got people, they're complaining about everything now. I'm tired of it. 366-1600. Let's go ahead and take a quick break. We come back. Kyle is going to have a big board update for you. And then Jack will be with us for the last time. I don't know what we're going to do during the 5:30 segment on Fridays moving forward.
Once again, DePaco Community Credit Union members are money ahead. This fall, more than 50,000 DePaco members receive shares of more than $2.6 million. How? Through Thank Yous, a DePaco-only perk that thanks members in cash for simply using their credit union services. Unlike banks, DePaco doesn't pay dividends to outside shareholders. Instead, our nonprofit cooperative structure enables us to put money directly into the pockets of our member owners. Since 2016, DePaco members have shared nearly $9 million in thank yous. Not a DePaco member? What are you waiting for? Join the local financial cooperative where your membership pays. Just visit your nearest DePaco branch or open an account online at DePaco.com. Save, borrow, invest, insure, trust. DePaco. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Opportunity.
Hi, I'm Trent with Bob Mickey Collision in Cedar Rapids, here to remind you that if you're in an accident, it's always your choice where to get your car repaired. Stop in for a free estimate. It'll take about 15 minutes, and we'll answer any questions that you have. We take pride in taking care of our customers, and we stand behind our work with a lifetime guarantee. We work with all insurance companies, but we work for you. It's your car. It's your choice. Choose Bob Mickey Collision. Stop in for a free estimate.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
Let's keep that on the down low. It's not exactly street legal.
Rough Riders at home tonight and tomorrow. Cedar Rapids Ice Arena getting ready to take on the Madison Capitals tonight. And then tomorrow, it's the Green Bay Gamblers. Puck drops at 7:05. Let's send things over to Kyle. We'll find out what else is going on in the world of sports.
The UNI men played an exhibition last night with Upper Iowa and won 82-63, led by four-star freshman and Cedar Falls native A.J. Green. He's looked fantastic in their exhibition, scoring 27 last night, shooting 11 of 19 and 4 of 9 from 3 after scoring 22 on similar numbers on Sunday. Pepperdine transfer Trey Burhau also had a double-double with 14 points and 14 rebounds. The Iowa State women also had an exhibition last night and beat Southwest Baptist 90-51. Bridget Carlton led with 17 points. The Cyclone men will have their first exhibition next Tuesday, and it looks like the projected lineup for that's going to be Nick Weiler-Babb and Lindell Wigginton in the backcourt, with Virginia transfer Mariel Shayok and four-star freshman Talon Horton-Tucker on the wings, and freshman Michael Jacobson starting in place of Cameron Lard in the post. While we're on the topic, the Iowa men have their first exhibition at Carver on Sunday, and then the women on Tuesday, although they're going to be without all Big Ten selection Kathleen Doyle, who the team announced today is going to be out 4 to 6 weeks with a fracture in her left hand. The Iowa wrestling team had a second round of wrestle-offs today, and at 125, Spencer Lee won by a pin. Austin DeSanto won at 133. Max Murren at 141. Pat Lugo also won with a pin at 149. Caleb Young at 157. Alex Marinelli at 165. Cash Wilkie at 184. And Jacob Warner by a major decision at 197. We're going to be hopping off the air a little bit early today at 6:45 for high school quarterfinal matchups. Decorah at Xavier on the north, and Maine Gyms and Bettendorf at Iowa City West on the south gym.
Northwestern holding the official ribbon cutting tonight at the newly renovated Welsh Ryan Arena as well. Looking forward to seeing the renovations there firsthand in the coming years. Back with Jack Dom after this.
How do you football? How about a 180-inch big screen with stadium seating and 20 beers on tap? Yeah, that's the way you football. At Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar in Uptown Marion, it's the place to go with the crew. Catch the Hawkeyes and the NFL games on Sunday Ticket, play armchair quarterback, and cheer for your fantasy players. Football at Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar on 7th Avenue in Uptown Marion. And weekdays after work, come in for happy hour from 3 to 6. And trivia Wednesday night at 7.
Now,
go with the one that's here to help life go right. State Farm. Talk to an agent today.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. Dodgers lefty Clayton Kershaw will get a three-year contract extension worth $93 million. Kershaw has played his entire 11-year big league career in Los Angeles. The Astros make a qualifying offer to lefty Dallas Keuchel for $17.9 million. ESPN's Buster Olney reports the Indians will listen to trade offers for some of their veteran players, including Corey Kluber, Carlos Carrasco, Edwin Encarnacion, and Jason Kipnis. The Patriots and Packers meet in Foxborough Sunday night. Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers on the same field for just the second time as starters. NBC's Al Michaels.
So people are always saying, you know, who's the better quarterback, blah, 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 all that stuff. But I look at it as, you know, going to the theater, going to a concert or whatever, and just watching the two greatest of all time, not go head-to-head, but they're out there on the stage doing their thing.
Al Michaels on Golic and Wingo. The Ravens will play against the Steelers Sunday without both of their starting offensive tackles, Ronnie Stanley with an ankle injury, and James Hurst with a back injury.
Hey, it's DeGatch. Join us Monday. We'll have the funniest thing from the sports weekend, plus I'll have my weekend observations. That is Monday on the Dan Le Batard Show with me, DeGatch, on ESPN Radio.
The Army National Guard is committed to keeping the country safe and our community secure. Composed of hundreds of thousands of citizen soldiers from all walks of life, the Guard is always ready to respond to local or national emergencies. We protect the homeland. We're always there when called upon, and in every state and territory, we stand guard for our communities. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Love music? Live sports?
Trying to get to the corner and put out of bounds at about the 39-yard line.
Smart Rock on Smart FM. Smart Sports on KGYM. Love sports?
Here's the snap back. Stobie surveys the field, has all day, throws a swing pass, caught by Stobie at the 10-yard line.
Live music? Lock us in. Smart Sports on KGYM. Smart Rock on Smart FM.
Your car's in pretty good shape. It's only 6 or 7 years old. You just commute to work every day and take the occasional road trip. And sometimes you drive around just so your dog can hang his head out the window. Your car doesn't have to be old to accumulate miles. Pennzoil High Mileage is for any vehicle with 75,000 miles or more on it. It's specially formulated to reduce oil consumption and leaks and reduce engine wear. Pennzoil High Mileage. Because before you know it, you'll be on the road again. Pennzoil Synthetics. Make the switch at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Ready for some good news? Life insurance is more affordable than you think. Ready for some even better news? Your coverage can start today. An eFinancial agent is ready to help you select the right policy from the most trusted life insurance companies. And it's all done over the phone. One call, and you're on the way to the protection your family needs. Call 1-866-244-5580 to get covered today or get a quote at eFinancial.com.
Two of Eastern Iowa's strongest football programs hook up at a Class 4A playoff quarterfinal this Friday night on the South Gym. Join Zach Mackey and Gary Fickle this Friday at 6:45 on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, as code number fives go at it as fifth-rated Iowa City West meets number five Bettendorf in a Class 4A quarterfinal. This is another rematch. Back in week two, the Bulldogs won by a field goal on their home field. We'll see what happens in the second go-round. That's Class 4A quarterfinal football. Fifth-rated Bettendorf at number 5 Iowa City West. Friday night at 6:45 on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, KGYM.
Back to the Todd Bravo Camp Show right here on KGYM.
Wow. It's kind of intimidating to be in the presence of so many great athletes.
5:35, welcome back in. We are beyond the halfway point of the program tonight because we're off at 6:45 for high school football, the playoffs, the last of the games played outside in the elements. The Unidome is up next for the lucky winners tonight. Best of luck going out to all of our area teams who are still active. You'll hear a couple of them on our airwaves. Again, pregame 6:45, kickoff around 7 o'clock tonight. Scott Unash and Zach Mackey calling their respective games. 319-366-1600, the number to reach us on the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com said to join us in the 6 o'clock hour. Iowa traveling east to take on the Purdue Boilermakers. John Bonenkamp, friend of the show, enjoying a fine steak dinner at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. I see on Twitter right now, and I'm very jealous of him. Not exactly jealous that I won't be there at Ross-Ade Stadium tomorrow. Not one of my favorite venues in the Big Ten, but a Beef House stop always gets my heart aflutter. And that may have something to do with stops at the Beef House. I'm not quite sure. Jack Dom is with us for the final time. This is always a sad segment every year, Jack. The final touching all the bases as we close the books on another season of Major League Baseball. The viewership for the World Series between the Red Sox and the Dodgers way down this year. People are worried about what the ratings mean for baseball. Why weren't people watching this World Series?
You know what? It was just one of those series where Boston was just by far the best team in Major League Baseball. I think even you go back to the Boston-New York-Yankee series, they were just by far the best team. And there wasn't the excitement that there was previously. You know, if all of a sudden it goes to a game seven, you know, game six and seven, I think those ratings in the last few games would definitely go up. But, you know, it's late. There's, you know, I think there's, I haven't really looked into it that closely, but, you know, Boston just dominated. So there wasn't much excitement in any of the, you know, we thought going in, if you recall, we thought this would be one of the best playoffs years ever with the matchups that they had. Nothing really came down to the last game or, there wasn't the excitement that we anticipated heading into the playoffs.
Some people are speculating that because the postseason begins on cable and then winds up on Fox, mm-hmm. that because some people weren't able to watch the opening rounds, the divisional series, that maybe that kept some people away. Do you think baseball needs to address how it builds the postseason narrative instead of just dropping people into the World Series for those who haven't been following along?
You know, they've been doing that for years, though. It's really frustrating as a viewer, not knowing where the games are going to be, you know, what station. you know, so it's been pretty tough and frustrating. But, you know, I think it's just another excuse. You know, not all the homes get some of the stations, so that definitely hurts the viewership and maybe takes a little momentum away from it. You know, because if your team's not playing and they've lost in the playoffs, then maybe you have lost a little bit of interest in it, and it's not the typical station that you turn on. One of the biggest things for a lot of people is if they're clicking through the prime stations and they see a game that they're usually on that station, they'll click on it. But right now, when people have 500 stations, they might not come across where the playoff game is, or even with the World Series on Fox, they might not come across it.
Jack, the big news today was that Clayton Kershaw opted not to hit the open market. He signs a 3-year, $90 million deal to remain a Los Angeles Dodger. A lot was made about his drop in velocity and him sort of reinventing himself a little bit. Do you think that that trend is going to continue as the injuries and the age starts to pile up a little bit?
Yeah, you know what? It'll be interesting to see. You know, it's probably as healthy as he's been going into the off season. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's a little bit of an uptick in his velocity to begin the season next year. I think one of the biggest things that you might end up seeing him do is develop a little more of a changeup and start using his changeup a little bit more. You look at what David Price did. You know, David Price didn't throw his changeup much at all during the season, and all of a sudden that changeup became a weapon for him in the playoffs and in the World Series, which also makes that, you know, 92, 93 mile per hour fastball look a little bit harder. And then also he started getting his juices going and he popped a couple of 94, 95. So I think the biggest thing you might end up seeing Kershaw start to develop a changeup that he goes to a little more often, a ball that goes the other way. It's a little different look. You know, he can work that off of his fastball. Right now he's got that cutter that's tremendous that goes down and into the righties, away from the lefties. Now that changeup will be a nice pitch that he can start to throw a little bit more often, which will make his fastball look a little firmer than it actually is. He's still one of the best pitchers in baseball. The way he drops that breaking ball in, he's got the slider. You know, he's still going to be a very valuable pitcher. You know, we just expect that 1.69 ERA he had a couple years ago. You know, what do you have this year? A 2.7 during the regular season. He still did pretty good. He'll go out every year, give you 170, 180 innings, maybe not that 220 that he used to give you. But he's still, you know, when you think of the Dodgers, he is the face of the Dodgers, and he'll end up, you know, retiring as a Dodger where he belongs.
Were you surprised to see him not at least test the open market? I mean, it's very rare that a player like that doesn't want to try to see what he would bring in free agency. We've seen Bryce Harper and Manny Machado head into free agency, yet Kershaw seems comfortable where he's at, and that's kind of rare these days.
Yeah, you know, it's called loyalty, which is something that you don't see very often. And I think it means a lot to him. I think it means a lot to the organization for him to retire as a Dodger. And, you know, he actually technically took a pay cut in his
poor guy.
Like 33, you know, a couple million. Yeah, he just extended it 1 year. But, you know, I'm not too sure if he's going to get that type of money on the open market from other teams. So I think there was a loyalty from the Dodgers. I think there was a loyalty from Kershaw. I'm sure Kershaw probably wanted 4 years. Dodgers probably didn't feel comfortable going that long. And, you know, so I think it was just a loyalty from the organization and also a loyalty from Clayton Kershaw. Really, the only other team would probably be the Rangers he was interested in going back home to Texas. But, you know, I think he's where he belongs now. He's comfortable there. His family's comfortable there. And he's going to become a living legend. When you see Sandy Koufax, Tommy Lasorda, those type of guys, they are absolute legends in Los Angeles. And that's what Clayton Kershaw will be.
Jack, two teams in the NL Central, the Cubs and the Cardinals. We'll get to what they need to do in the offseason in just a second. But let's start with two cornerstone players for both of those teams going under the knife for shoulder surgery, Chris Bryant, Marcelo Zuna. How much emphasis is it going to be just for those teams to get those guys healthy for their outlook in 2019?
Oh, I think it's huge. I think, you know, you look, once Chris Bryant was injured and was out of the lineup on a consistent basis, they really struggled to score runs. He's an RBI machine. And then Ozuna, he wasn't healthy all year long. You know, I know a lot of Cardinal fans, and you just look at his swing. It wasn't the same swing. He didn't have the finish, didn't have the pop. And, you know, some of these guys with this launch angle, the high, you know, trying to elevate the ball, it puts some pressure on your shoulders, more left shoulder than the right shoulder. But, you know, that happens with the swing, with wear and tear. But it's going to be very important for him to get those guys back. You know, does it bring up another avenue for the Chicago Cubs to move Chris Bryant out to left field? You know, try to take some pressure off of those diving plays that he makes at third base. You know, you still make some diving plays in the outfield, but not near as many. You know, so that's something that I guarantee you the Cubs will be looking at. And I think you're going to see the Cubs get very, very creative this offseason. I think you'll see the Cardinals make a big splash, but the Cubs will get creative with some of their moves.
Jack Dom with us for the final time this season, touching all the bases. Let's talk a little bit more about the Cubs. They are reacting today. There are some reports out there that they're facing financial limitations this offseason. Jack, do you buy into that the Cubs are worried about how much money they're spending this offseason?
No, I really don't. I don't buy into it. I think that's what they're probably trying to do, is put on the brakes a little bit for the Harper Machado talks. You know, I've told you from day one, I don't think that those would be great moves for him. I think Machado would have been a smarter move than Bryce Harper. Now, I won't be disappointed if they get either one of those guys, but I really don't anticipate them going into that market. You know, Chris Bryant, like I said, he's the versatility he gives you. He can move out to the outfield. You know, you hear that Cleveland is going to be shipping out some of their guys. I just think that the Cubs are going to get a little bit creative, and don't be surprised if you see a guy like Kyle Schwarber playing for the Cleveland Indians, and all of a sudden the Cubs getting somebody like a Corey Kluber, to a guy that they feel like they're going to be able to rely on in that rotation. And, you know, and then all of a sudden they might end up trading a Tyler Chatwood or somebody, some of the money. They'll have to take a hit on the money. But I think the other big question is, who are they going to get in the infield that can play, you know, second base, shortstop, while, you know, Addison Russell's out? You know, will they keep Addison Russell? Will they get rid of him below market value? I'm not sure, but, you know, DJ LeMahieu could be a guy that would fit in for the Chicago Cubs, because he just gives you a little better defense than what the Cubs had at second base at the end of the year. LeMahieu's a gold glove type performer. You know, he could play third base. He could fill in at shortstop. But I just think that you're going to see him make a couple of nice, solid moves, trading some of their assets that they have, like Schwarber or Ian Happ, as we talked about, but maybe getting some veteran help in that starting rotation. Even though they've got bodies, you know, they need to get a shutdown guy that they know that they can rely on there.
Speaking of moves, was it a good one to pick up Cole Hamels' $20 million option?
I think it really was. And really, it was a $14 million pickup. They're going to have to pay him $6 million no matter what. If they didn't pick it up, they're going to pay $6 million. So really, it was a $14 million decision. Smiley was $7 million. So really, it was a $7 million pickup for him on the books this coming year, because they basically were going to have to you know, pay him that $6 million. So a couple of the moves, the Smiley move, which caught me off guard, but also it makes sense. You know, why do you pay a guy $7 million when he was hurt originally, you know, as far as Smiley? But it was just a move with what Cole Hamels did. You know what you're going to get in him. He's a great teammate. He loved being with the Cubs, and I think he's a reliable arm that's going to be able to go out there and give you 180 innings. And he pitched extremely well. And the John Lester factor, you know, he started going to that cutter a lot more, cutter changeup, which made him a lot more effective.
Let's get down to brass tacks here. How long do you think we're going to have to wait until Bryce Harper and Manny Machado find a new home? Are we going to drag on off all winter here, or do you see these guys trying to figure out where they're playing relatively quickly?
I think there's going to be a couple teams that go out like gangbusters right away. And on those two guys, I think Bryce Harper right now is actually, just because of what Manny Machado did, how he didn't perform great, and some of his antics, I would have said that Manny Machado was the perfect guy for the Cardinals. Being able to be a shortstop, third baseman, infielder. But I don't think what he did will – I think that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way in the Cardinal organization. So I think they're going to go, all out for Bryce Harper. They were willing to spend money on Stanton. They're willing to spend money on the pitcher the year before, or a couple years ago, David Price. And they've got money sitting there. So I think the Cardinals will throw a huge number out early. I think Mazalak has to make a big impact. And of course, the Phillies, everybody's been talking about them for the last couple of years. And then I think what you'll see, Boris will play his game. That's when all of a sudden you've got the New York Yankees sitting there for a guy like Machado and waiting to see what that price is. And they'll probably wait to see what some of the bigger markets come in. So I would think that Harper would be the first one to sign. It just depends how Boris wants to play the game. If they get the money up front, he might sign a lot earlier than Martinez did this past year.
Jack, you touched on it a little bit just there, but the St. Louis Cardinals missing the playoffs 3 years in a row. They've been so close yet so far away from some of these big-name free agents and trade candidates, like you mentioned. Do they almost have to make a big splash this offseason to show their fans that they're ready to turn the page?
I really believe they do. You're talking about a very proud organization, a very proud fan base. They've put their name in the hat for a couple of big price guys, but then when they didn't get them, they didn't make any big moves after that. So I think Mozeliak, he's kind of on the hot seat a little bit. He needs to make a splash. They need to get a little excitement back to St. Louis and to really play some good, solid baseball. And that's why originally I thought Machado would be the answer because of being an infielder, being a gold glove third baseman, a solid shortstop. But I don't think they need a guy that's not going to go out and play hard every day. That's not what they need right now. Bryce Harper will play hard when he has to play hard. He'll back off at times. But for the most part, you're looking at a guy that goes and gives you 100% every day out there. He will back off a little bit on some fly balls, but in the big league, sometimes that's what they tell you to do.
Jack, we have appreciated your insight all season long. Enjoy the off season, and before you know it won't be too long, we'll be talking about that Mount Mercy dinner again.
I can't wait, and we look forward to getting you there, and thanks for everything all year long. I've enjoyed it, and now we need to see a little better effort here from the Hawkeyes here. So we need execution at crunch time for those Hawkeyes and put a nice little run here to end out the year.
Talking Hawkeye football, we'll do it next with Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com, the big hour on tap for the 6 o'clock hour. Back with more after this.
Let's go, Hawks! Let's go, Hawks! Let's go, Hawks!
Cheer on the black and gold in your black and gold from BravoSportsMarketing.com. BravoSportsMarketing.com has everything you need as a true Hawkeye fanatic, including the brand new Kirk Ferentz Winningest Coach poster in two sizes, game day apparel, football ticket packages, and the popular America Needs Farmers gear. When it comes to a complete Kinnick experience, BravoSportsMarketing.com is the only place you'll find Hawkeye Village ticket and tailgate packages. These packages have everything you need for a premium tailgate, including an all-you-can-eat and drink buffet with beer, wine, and soft drinks, musical entertainment, and more. Hawkeye Village packages are currently available for the remaining home games. BravoSportsMarketing.com also has some game tickets without the tailgate package. BravoSportsMarketing.com. Over 20 years of authentic Hawkeye gear for serious Hawkeye fans.
All across Iowa, you might notice people really smiling.
Good hit, way to go!
Really laughing.
Oh, serious.
Really living.
So good to see you, Grandma.
That's because more Iowans choose Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield for their health insurance. Our members know they can count on us to be with them when they need us most. Having that peace of mind gives them the freedom to enjoy every moment life gives them to help them live to the fullest. So it's no wonder Wellmark members smile so much. Learn more at Wellmark.com.
Coors Light, established in 1978 and born in the Rockies, where the only thing more refreshing than your current adventure is what's next. It's why Coors Light is lagered cold for a lighter, crisper taste. Filtered cold to ensure brilliance, clarity, and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve nothing less than the world's most refreshing beer. Coors Light. 2018 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Don't miss your chance to save big during Menards pre-Black Friday sale. Breathe cleaner air with DuPont air filters. Buy one plus 8,000 allergen air filter at $7.99 and get one free. Get the best one coat paint and primer in one. Paramount is $28.98 per gallon after rebate. A 7-inch Android tablet is $39.99. Save $50 on Hitachi cordless drill and work light kit, $49. Get these great offers plus many more through Sunday, November 4th during Menards pre-Black Friday sale.
Save big money at Menards.
Back to the Todd Brodelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
That's the most asinine marketing I've ever heard of.
Welcome back in. High school football playoff action on the way for you tonight. We're about an hour away, less than an hour away, from quarterfinal calls by Scott Unash and Zach Mackey. Kyle's going to let you know who you'll be listening to and on what frequencies with his big board update.
The UNI men played an exhibition last night with Upper Iowa and won 82-63, led by four-star freshman and Cedar Falls native A.J. Green. He's looked fantastic in their exhibition, scoring 27 last night, shooting 11 of 19 and 4 of 9 from 3 after scoring 22 on similar numbers on Sunday. Pepperdine transfer Trey Burhau also had a double-double with 14 points and 14 rebounds. The Iowa State women also had an exhibition last night and beat Southwest Baptist 90-51. Bridget Carlson led with 17 points. The Cyclone men will have their first exhibition next Tuesday, and it looks like the projected lineup for that's going to be Nick Weiler, Babb, and Lindell Wigginton in the backcourt, with Virginia transfer Mariel Shayok and four-star freshman Talon Horton Tucker on the wings, and Michael Jacobson starting in place of Cameron Lard in the post. While we're on the topic, the Iowa men will have their first exhibition at Carver on Sunday, and the women on Tuesday, although now they're going to be without all Big Ten selection Kathleen Doyle, who the team announced is going to be out 4 to 6 weeks with a fracture in her left hand. The Iowa wrestling team is having a second rounder, had a second rounder wrestle-offs today, and Spencer Lee won by a pin at 125, Austin DeSanto won at 133, Max Murren at 41, Pat Lugo had a pin at 49, Caleb Young won by a decision at 157, Alex Marinelli at 165, Cash Wilkie at 184, and Jacob Warner had a major decision at 197. We're going to hop off the air at 6:45 today for high school quarterfinal matchups. Decorah at Xavier's on the North and Main gyms, and Bettendorf at Iowa City West will be on the South gym.
366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Use it to reach out to us inside the big hour. Don't forget, you can also vote in our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Which game are you most looking forward to watching this weekend among the college and NFL slate? Four options for you. Emil's has a lot more than four options on its delicious menu. Check them out again. First Avenue Southeast, behind Taco John's, next to the Home Depot. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com is with us. We will take a deep dive into Iowa and Purdue, the de facto elimination game in the Big Ten West title race tomorrow at Ross-Ade Stadium in West Lafayette. 2:30 kickoff, big hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement, begins next.
Attention humans, Sprint is giving away $250,000.
That's right, Atlas. There are 250,000 reasons to check out Sprint this fall. Our Rake in the Cash sweepstakes is from November 2nd through the 8th. Simply drop into your local Sprint store and enter to win your share of $250,000.
My analysis confirms that's a big pile of money.
The Rake in the Cash grand prize is $100,000, and 150 winners will receive $1,000. New and existing customers can enter to win. You get extra entries when you open new accounts, upgrade your phones, activate a watch or tablet, and there are bonus entries for each year you've been with Sprint. There's no purchase necessary. Simply visit your local Sprint store for official rules and complete details.
Hurry, humans. The sweepstakes ends November 8th.
And there's never been a better time to try the Sprint network. When you visit Sprint, check out our network built for unlimited and all the amazing unlimited plans.
Legal residents of United States, Puerto Rico, and District of Columbia, 18 and older. Void where prohibited. Sponsors Sprint Communications Company, LP.
Do you have frequent heartburn? Like the kind where you have antacid stashed everywhere in case it pops up? You know what I mean. You keep some in your bag, or your desk, or your car, or your nightstand. You have those chalky tablets ready for whenever and wherever heartburn strikes. Well, listen up. There's an easier way to deal with your heartburn. Prilosec OTC. Just one pill a day will last a full 24 hours with zero heartburn. Kick your antacid habit. It's possible with Prilosec OTC.
Use as directed for 14 days to treat frequent heartburn, not for immediate relief.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right? Well, with the Keep Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Video typically streams at DVD quality at 60 gigabytes. We reserve the right to review your account for usage in violation of Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
KGYM Cedar Rapids. 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4. Cedar Rapids. Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm John Ryder. A new deal for Dodgers ace Clayton Kershaw. It's a three-year extension worth $93 million. That includes incentives. The contract replaces the final 2 years remaining on a seven-year extension he originally signed in 2014. Cubs have picked up the $20 million option on lefty Cole Hamels for next season. Cubs have also dealt lefty Drew Smyly to the Rangers. Smyly missed all of last season recovering from Tommy John surgery. Lakers team president Magic Johnson criticized head coach Luke Walton for the team's slow start. Sources telling this to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski and Dave McMenamin. Luke Walton was asked about his relationship with Lakers management at today's practice.
I feel like I have a great relationship with management, yes.
Do you feel like you have job security?
I feel like I'm coming down here to do my job and coach, and I don't feel like I'm going in for it now.
Lakers are 3-5, visit Portland tomorrow night. Cavs forward Kevin Love will miss at least the next 6 weeks after having surgery on his left foot. Rocket star James Harden will miss his fourth straight game tonight. With that strained hamstring, Houston at Brooklyn tonight. Harden is expected to return for tomorrow night's game at Chicago. Major showdown in college football tomorrow night at Death Valley with third-ranked LSU hosting top-ranked Alabama. Crimson Tide head coach Nick Saban.
Our record or any other statistic that you guys want to sort of bring up about all this game and all that will not affect the outcome of this game at all.
Nick Saban also says that LSU is the best team that they have faced this season. You can tune in to Alabama against LSU on ESPN Radio and the app. Coverage starting at 7 Eastern tomorrow night.
The Duke Blue Devils head to Miami to face Malik Rozier and the Hurricanes. It's a primetime showdown at The Rock. Miami, Duke, tomorrow at 6:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Presented by Goodyear.
Hey, Golic, if I were to throw the lines open right now to discuss who's the GOAT, we'd have no shortage of opinions, correct?
No, we would not.
But if I asked men to talk about their health?
Crickets.
Yeah, a recent Cleveland Clinic survey found 56% of men prefer to keep health concerns to themselves and not share them with anyone, not even their doctor. Cleveland Clinic is ranked number one in the nation in heart and urology care, and they've heard it all before.
Make sure to visit clevelandclinic.org/mention it for answers to those 10 questions most men are afraid to ask.
State Farm, Robert here.
Robert, somebody burned down my she shed.
No one burned down your she shed, Cheryl.
Oh, really, Victor? Because my she shed's burning up in the backyard.
Your she shed was struck by lightning, Cheryl.
Robert, does State Farm cover my she shed?
What's a she shed?
She turned our shed into her hideaway, Robert.
Oh, yeah, that's covered.
You hear that, Victor? I'm getting a new she shed.
Can we stop saying she shed now?
Go with the one that's here to help life go right. State Farm. Talk to an agent today.
One playoff driver says it's a very different Texas these days.
We're going insanely fast around this place.
I'm Woody Kane. The story next on NASCAR Today.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills
exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 844-74-BIBLE. That's 844-74-BIBLE.
With eight drivers left in the playoffs, those on the outside of the top four are feeling some pressure to win either this weekend at Texas or next week at Phoenix. Count Eric Almirola in that crowd. He says the challenge is the repave and reconfiguration in the Lone Star State means you can't just hold the car wide open anymore.
Well, you do that in turn three and four here, but then turn one and two, you know, you're running 210 miles an hour, 212 miles an hour when you get there, and then you kind of have to let way out of the gas and use some brake and kind of tiptoe through there because it's so flat. The car is just not as stuck to the racetrack.
Ryan Blaney was quickest in practice. Qualifying is tonight. Also tonight, the Trucks next playoff race from Texas at 8 Eastern time. I'm Woody Kane. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
Back to the Todd Bromelcamp Show right here on KGYM.
I'm fired, aren't I?
Oh, yes.
It's an abbreviated big hour brought to you by our friend Steve Anderson at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Keep them in mind the next time you're looking to buy or sell a home, especially in the Iowa City area. Hawkeye Title and Settlement, located on Highway 1 West in Iowa City. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com with us for the final 45 minutes of the show tonight. 45 minutes? What are you talking about? Well, high school football playoff action, quarterfinals on tap tonight. Zach Mackey and Scott Unash getting ready to bring you the thrilling excitement of high school football playoff action. Again, 6:45 pregame, 7 o'clock kickoff on those contests. Don't forget, swing on by KGYMRadio.com and vote in our poll question today, brought to you by our friends at Emil's Hideaway. Which game are you most looking forward to watching this weekend? Among a couple college choices and a couple NFL games that I think will certainly have people's interest piqued. Rob, Iowa and Purdue, not one of the choices on the poll question. This game is not exactly of interest to anybody outside of Big Ten country, in particular the Big Ten West. Are you viewing this through the lens that many others are, that this is a de facto eliminator game, that the winner of this game is still going to have a chance to be playing in Indianapolis?
Would sure seem that way. I mean, it's a bunched up group here at the top of the Big Ten West. I think does Wisconsin play Rutgers this week?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's a win for them. They still have Penn State and Purdue on the road. So, I mean, there's a good chance that they trip up at least once there. So I think this scenario is, I don't know if likely is the right word, but if Iowa can win out, it sits in a really good spot to win this division. And it's not controlling your own destiny, but at least they control a chance at it. And, you know, with a little bit of help, they'll be able to win the division.
If they went out there, would you say that they likely are in? It's hard to say at this point, but they would have had to beat Northwestern. They would win the rest of their game. They would have had to beat Purdue. And so at that point, at 10-2, two losses in the conference, I think they'd probably be in. But I said this just about an hour ago, Rob, more than anything, these next two games are going to be important just for the way that people think about this season, because I think a lot of fans feel like they've let a couple run down their leg against Wisconsin and Penn State. I didn't mean to be too graphic there, but those two games late in crunch time, they have not executed in the biggest moments. If they can get these next two games, beat Illinois, hold serve against Nebraska, then they finish the season 10-2. Whether they get to Indianapolis or not, I think they can still salvage this season, which looks so promising at one point.
Yeah, I'm reluctant to say this likely could happen or could happen just because this conference has been nutty this year. I mean, you've got Michigan State wins at Penn State. Penn State beats Iowa at home. Northwestern goes to Michigan State. It wins. Michigan State beats Purdue at home. Ohio State loses at Purdue. I mean, We think the likelihood here is that Wisconsin's going to lose another game. They may not. Who knows? They're not playing great right now, but it's still a pretty talented football team that's capable of winning out as well. And Purdue's, I mean, Purdue's really dangerous. I know there's some question about Rondale Moore tomorrow with his ankle. Excuse me. And that's obviously a huge deal if he's not at full strength. But yeah, what I wrote on Saturday after Penn State was, if you would have told people before the season, okay, after eight games, Iowa's going to be 6-2, and the two losses are to Wisconsin and Penn State, people would have been like, "Nah, that makes sense. Yeah, that's kind of what we think. You know, they're going to be underdogs to those two teams." I think the problem is about expectations and perception is we actually watched those two games, and Iowa blew it. Iowa blew a chance to win those two games and be 8-0 right now. And that's what I think is sticking in people's craw right now, the mistakes that were made in those two games. And Saturday, I thought we were past the nervous, discombobulated Stanley, and we weren't. He just was out of sorts again. And I've written about this year. It started on Media Day with the specialists talking about the sports psychologists that they've brought in to kind of help guys through things like this. And obviously it works well with specialists, but Nace Stanley's leaned on it a lot this year too. And he felt like he had gotten the tools to be able to calm himself down when he gets too wound up. And he wasn't able to do that Saturday.
So what brought that on last weekend? What about that game brought that on?
I don't know. I mean, from that first play where he was called for intentional grounding, I thought to myself, God, you know, at this point in his career, he's got to be better than that. He's got to make better decisions. And it just seemed like last week he couldn't get out of his own way, and his teammates seemed to feed off that anxious behavior, not being able to settle down. And obviously, I'm sure you guys have talked ad nauseum about the overthrow to Hockenson and then the play at the 3-yard line at first and goal and all that stuff. I mean, the mistakes were really obvious. He just was off. He missed so many throws.
I think it's just sort of at this point we can sit here and theorize till we're blue in the face, but I think it's just a lot of things, and the weather, the crowd, the fact that he was not on the same page with his center most of the day. We saw a lot of times where those two were off page. You saw low snaps. You saw snaps before Nate Stanley was ready. Keegan Render did not have his best day at the office. He had a lot of pressure in his face most of the day. It just was one of those times where it seemed like he got rattled by a lot of different things, and he was completely off, and everybody watched that game not knowing what the problem was, but saying the same thing. Something is not right. And it's not the injury, because he made his best throws of the game after he hit his thumb on the opposing player's helmet. So, but I brought this up a couple times during the week. When did he start to get into a rhythm? When they got behind, he didn't have to think. He just got out there. He got up to the line of scrimmage, called the play, and made the throw. When it was a close game and they were going methodically and he had time to think, that's when we saw a lot of very errant throws.
And he did well until he got down to the 3-yard line.
Oh, yes.
And then it imploded again when there was
Right.
And I think a lot of people could have stepped in there and called a timeout, just stop things, take a penalty, whatever you need to do, throw the ball in the stands. But yeah, he's got the tools. You watch him and the way he plays against, you know, Minnesota and Indiana, and even how he managed the game against Maryland. You felt like, okay, he's beyond this type of a game, and he wasn't. And that makes you wonder, you know, it's sold out tomorrow in West Lafayette. I don't know. It's not comparable in any way to the Penn State environment, but it can still be a pretty tough environment when they fill that place up. Will he calm down tomorrow? Will he be settled? You think, you hope that he bounces back, but you have to see it. It's kind of like the basketball team saying, we're going to play better defense. Well, let's see you play better defense. And Stanley needs to show that he can go on the road, which he wasn't able to do last year at Michigan State, last year at Wisconsin, last week at Penn State, tough road environments. He's got to show that he can lead this team, because Purdue is giving up the most passing yardage of any team in the Big Ten, he's got an opportunity to put this team on his back tomorrow.
Glad you brought up basketball, because we're going to spend the next 35 minutes breaking down Guilford College in that exhibition on Sunday. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com with us. We were at Mulligan's last night for the road trip. We happened to look up. We saw you and Zach Hanley on TV. You're like Mr. Media here in Eastern Iowa. You dress up for Hanley. You come in here looking like this, dressed for radio with us. We know where we rate.
I've got a face for radio and writing.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I was told once that I had a voice for newspapers. So,
yeah, my kids get a kick out of that show. They laugh at me.
Well, I saw you pick. You both picked the Hawks.
Yeah,
you think they've got it in them to go on the road and win this game tomorrow?
I do. I and maybe it's just blind faith here in Stanley, but I think he bounces back tomorrow and makes enough plays, because he's going to have to make enough plays. Purdue will score. Iowa's defense is really good, but Purdue has enough weapons on offense that it will score some points. Iowa's got to be in the 20s.
I think that the point you brought up, this is the worst pass defense, maybe close to the worst pass defense in the country. They are near the bottom in the Big Ten in sacks. They get the fewest amount of pressures in the Big Ten. This is an opportunity for him to bounce back, and it's just, like you said, we have to see it first. Now, he has gone on the road before. I think about the first start that he had against Iowa State last year, where he throws for 330 yards and, what was it, four touchdowns against Iowa State last year. So it seems to come on the sort of being rattled. It comes on randomly, and last week it definitely came on in Happy Valley. And for the hopes of Iowa and in the Big Ten West, they better hope that he's back to normal tomorrow afternoon.
What does Iowa need to do in order to avoid a loss tomorrow at Purdue? 319-366-1600. Use the Hertin & Stocker Jewelers text line to reach out to us, or pick up the phone and give us a call. Kyle will get you through to us here. What went wrong for the Hawkeyes last week? You already touched on Nate Stanley, but that was a number of tiny paper cuts that ultimately led to Iowa bleeding out.
Yeah, and I think, it's cliche, as Kirk says, that's usually a cliche because there's some truth behind it, but Stanley got probably more credit at Indiana for he threw six touchdowns, the offense was humming, and then probably got too much blame last week. As Alex said, the offensive line did not play well. Penn State is good at getting after the quarterback, and that's the key. And Iowa knows this, and the offensive line knows this. You have to keep Stanley clean. If you get him, if he's pressured, he just does not perform well with people coming at him, for the most part. I mean, there's examples certainly where he has. The offensive line's got to be better this week. Purdue isn't as big a challenge as Penn State is in terms of rushing the passer, but Purdue certainly knows that if they can get after Stanley, they can rattle him. And that's what they're going to try to do. They're going to bring guys from all over the place to try to get him.
I've never really thought of this before. It just dawned on me. He's sort of Pedro Serrano from Major League Baseball, where he's knocking the balls over the fence, and somebody says, man, what? How do we get this guy? And then they decide to mix in some curveballs. And so Stanley's fantastic when he's got all the time in the world back there, but when you start hitting him and putting him on his back and getting inside his head, rattling his cage a little bit, that's where some of the problems come. What about the run game tomorrow? What are you expecting the Hawkeyes to accomplish, if anything, on the ground?
Well, Purdue's pretty good against the run, actually. They do play well. They've got a couple of really good linebackers that make a lot of plays, and the defensive line kind of keeps them clean. But I was talking to Tristan Wirfs this week, and they do a lot of odd man fronts. They do a lot of different things, with their defensive alignment. So they're going to do that stuff to try to confuse Iowa a little bit. And if Iowa can run the ball early, that certainly opens things up. But I think it might be a game where they need to throw early, because Purdue's good against the run, and Purdue's so susceptible against the pass that I almost think you have to go at them through the air.
I think that's the way that they've set up several teams this year. They were trying to do it against Penn State. It didn't work. But I thought that Mekhi Sargent was one of the lone bright spots on the offensive side of the football last week, but they're going to have to get the passing game going, like Rob said, to get the running game going. And I think that the pace of this game is going to be interesting to monitor. Are we going to see Iowa's defense sort of slow down Purdue early like Michigan State did last week? Can Iowa's defense get as physical with a Purdue offense as Michigan State did last week? That's going to be the question, because they were able to match up a safety in Kari Willis on Rondale Moore. And Rondale Moore had 11 catches, but only 77 yards. They put a body on him as soon as he got the ball. And I thought that sort of rattled Purdue's offense just a little bit. Iowa has a good defense. Can they do the same thing?
Again, 319-366-1600 if you want to use the Hurtin and Stocker Jewelers text line to reach out to us. You know, the good thing about that trip to West Lafayette this weekend, you guys are going to get an hour coming back, because it's turned back the clock Saturday
night.
That's
about the only thing I'll get out of that trip.
And they're Eastern time zone, right?
They are. Yes.
So you're going to get basically 2 hours back, sort of, when you think about it, because you're going to go back to Central. You're going to head back into Central time, and then later on that night, you're going to get another hour back when you turn the clocks back.
Does that mean I'm with Hardy and Docterman for an extra hour, or not really?
Yeah, you didn't think about that when you signed on for the road trip. Let's talk a little bit about this, because I'm sure some of our listeners have not been there before. It's an interesting trip for a team to make, the Hawkeyes. The facilities there are not exactly top-notch.
And hopefully an Iowa player doesn't get hurt and need to go to the hospital, because
what a joke that was. Ask Wilton Spate.
And also it's goofy because it's another one of those places where the teams cross when they come out of the tunnels. Why do that? You're just inviting guys to run into each other and the coaches. And that's kind of, I think that's the way it was maybe at Indiana, where there was some problems at the beginning of that game. I don't know. I can't remember, but just, it's a tough place to play. For the road team, they give you a crappy locker room with bad showers. They let us in there in a very awkward manner to do post-game interview. And I think the good thing for Iowa, though, is there's times where you go to Purdue and it's like a ghost town in the stadium. They're going to have an environment at least to play in tomorrow.
For a number of years, you went there and it was either late October, November. They must do the trimesters there or something, where students were away on fall break. There are a couple road trips there where no students. Purdue wasn't very good. I think we're talking Danny Hope era.
Yeah.
And it's difficult to perform when there's no atmosphere. Jeff Brohm has people excited about Purdue football again. And there should be a pretty good turnout tomorrow for the game. I haven't seen whether the game is sold out or not. But they should at least be able to get up for this game, especially given everything that's on the line here between these two teams.
Yeah, and I think really, maybe it's understated, but these next 2 weeks, Iowa is they're playing teams that are really well coached in Purdue and Northwestern. So the coaching staff needs to be on its toes both of these games, with game plans and having some flexibility. And being, because I put some of that, you know, that late game Penn State stuff, some of that was on the coaching staff, because they didn't do, they should have been aware of things going on, especially on that first and goal from the three. Somebody there should have stepped in, thrown a flag, done something to get that play stopped before it happened. So a lot of pressure on the Iowa coaches as well these next 2 weeks, because as Alex said, these next 2 weeks will define the season.
And I thought that there was no game that better illustrated, or at least no game where Kurt got more out-coached last year than the Purdue matchup. I thought that... Yeah. I think Anthony Mahungu just caught another pass in that game. He went for 135 yards. I think last year it was strange because everybody knew Purdue was sort of on the come up. They were moving in the right direction, but everybody knows how dangerous they are this year, and they are so much better on offense this year than they were last year. Elijah Sindelar got the start in that game. It's going to be David Blau, and the offense has taken off since he took over, and I honestly believe that Jeff Brohm is one of the best play callers in college football.
somebody trying to get a hold of Jim Rockford there, I think. 319-366-1600. That's not the number of the phone that just rang. That's our text line and the number to reach Kyle on the other side of the glass if you want to dive in on Iowa and Purdue discussion. Let's hit on Rondale Moore here a little bit. This is for a first-year player. This is quite a weapon for Purdue, but as you mentioned, Rob, it does sound as if there's some question as to what he'll be playing at tomorrow. Not quite 100%.
Yeah, I was watching the Michigan State game last week when he got dinged up and I, you know, hobbled off the field. So if he's not at 100%, that's great for Iowa. If he's still pretty close to 100%, that's still an issue for Iowa. I'm interested to see how, as Alex said, do they have Imani Hooker spy him and follow him all over? I mean, they use him in so many ways to get him in space that you really have to be aware all the time. And communication is key. And obviously communication was not great in State College last week. It must be a lot better this week to contain a guy like this. Because then, I mean, if it was just him, it would be a heck of a lot easier. But DJ Knox is a really – maybe the most underrated running back in the conference. They've got good tight ends and good receivers. And Blau is kind of a McSorley light. I mean, he's just a guy that is a gamer, tough kid. The team seems to rally around him. I know those are cliches again, but he just seems like a good leader of this offense. They seem to, when he gets into a flow, and as Alex said last week, Michigan State knocked him around a little bit.
They did.
And that was a key. He threw three picks and no touchdowns. So maybe that's the key. Get after him and put him on his back a few times. And Iowa certainly has the capability to do that.
Yeah, and I think that's what started that trend last week was Michigan State's defensive line really had their way with Purdue's offensive line. But that word you just used there, I want to rewind for a second. Communication. That is something that we always hear Iowa players talking about. That's something we always hear Kirk talking about. And for the most part this season, it's been pretty good, except for in those key moments. Wisconsin, the play that turned the game. Lack of communication on special teams. Last week, like I said, the center and the quarterback completely off kilter. There were snaps that were ill-timed. There were false starts. And then the last that fateful play was a situation where Noah Fant was trying to get the audible or hear the audible from Nate Stanley, who killed the play with 2 seconds remaining on the play clock, and then relay it to his outside receiver. But Stanley had already received the snap and was throwing the ball to Fant, or to the running back, I should say, to Torin Young, before Fant had even turned around. So it has really failed them in big-time situations this year, and they have to be able to consistently communicate in those situations if they want to be able to close these next two games out and get back into this race.
6:26, we'll take a quick timeout. We come back, we'll take a peek around the rest of the Big Ten action this weekend, and maybe, just maybe, touch on Iowa basketball just the littlest of bits. They do begin their exhibition play this weekend with Guilford College on Sunday. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com with us until 6:45 tonight. It's the Big Hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement, and it continues after this.
23andMe helps you understand what your DNA can tell you about you and your family story. As your loved ones get together this Thanksgiving, discover the genetic connections you share. You and your family can learn where your DNA is from out of 150-plus regions worldwide. Now through Thanksgiving, 23andMe Ancestry Service kits are only $49 per kit when you buy two or more kits. Learn more at 23andMe.com/Spain. That's the number 23andMe.com/Spain.
And now, a thought from Geico Motorcycle. It took 15 minutes to purchase the gas station egg salad. Eat the gas station egg salad. And regret the gas station egg salad as you presented numbers to the board. To add insult to injury, you could have used those 15 egg salad minutes to switch your motorcycle insurance to Geico.
Uh-oh.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on motorcycle insurance.
Once again, DePaco Community Credit Union members are money ahead. This fall, more than 50,000 DePaco members receive shares of more than $2.6 million. How? Through Thank Yous, a DePaco-only perk that thanks members in cash for simply using their credit union services.
Unlike banks, DuPaco doesn't pay dividends to outside shareholders. Instead, our nonprofit cooperative structure enables us to put money directly into the pockets of our member owners. Since 2016, DuPaco members have shared nearly $9 million in thank yous. Not a DuPaco member? What are you waiting for? Join the local financial cooperative where your membership pays. Just visit your nearest DuPaco branch or open an account online at DuPaco.com. Save, borrow, invest, insure, trust. DuPaco. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Opportunity.
As a business person, you know that security is always a concern, but now it can be easily integrated into your computer network. Network Computer Solutions now offers turnkey security systems designed and built for business. From cameras and entry systems to secure video storage, NCS makes it easy for you to keep an eye on your business. NCS knows business networks, and they know how to utilize networks to keep your business safe. Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
TCB Pool Hall isn't one of those joints with a table stuck in the back for atmosphere. Nah, TCB Pool Hall is legit, straight-up pool with 10 regulation full-size tables you rent by the hour. They've got a darn respectable beer selection, too, with 26 rotating taps and another 30-plus brews and bottles and cans. TCB isn't the place the kiddies play. You gotta be 21 to get in here. So skip the nonsense. Hang out, play pool, and drink cold beer at TCB Pool Hall in the heart of the Pet Bowl, downtown Iowa City.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
And accepting the award for his department is, Dave.
This award means so much to me and everyone. From the interns we don't pay to the folks in legal handling my harassment suits, one very special person made this award possible, and that's me. Is that play-out music?
Don't work for a Dave. Find a boss you can respect. One who's looking for great and local talent at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
It's a normal day. You're rushing out the door to get to work on time when suddenly, there it is, the dreaded service light. So what is it this time? Tire pressure? Low coolant? Time for an oil change? When it comes to service lights, head to Jiffy Lube. We've got you covered. Drive in today and make the switch to Pennzoil. Ask for Pennzoil Synthetics, getting you back on the road in a jiffy. Jiffy Lube, leave worry behind.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
Never heard of.
I'm not surprised. More people watch the fish tank at Leo's pet store.
6:31, welcome back in. That was our final break. We'll finish up strong here. Programming note for those of you who may be just joining us or recently joined in, we're off at 6:45 tonight for high school football quarterfinal action. Zach Mackey and Scott Unash calling a couple games here in eastern Iowa. Iowa City West High in action tonight, as well as Cedar Rapids Xavier. You can catch them on all three of our frequencies. Kyle's going to give you one last big board update.
The UNI men played an exhibition last night with Upper Iowa and won 82-63, led by four-star freshman and Cedar Falls native A.J. Green. He's looked fantastic in their exhibition, scoring 27 last night, shooting 11 of 19 and 4 of 9 from 3 after scoring 22 on similar numbers on Sunday. Pepperdine transfer Trey Burrow also had a double-double with 14 points and 14 rebounds. The Iowa State women also had an exhibition last night and beat Southwest Baptist 90-51. Bridget Carlton led with 17 points. The Cyclone men will have their first exhibition next Tuesday, and it looks like the projected lineup for that will be Nick Weiler, Babb, and Lindell Wigginton in the backcourt, with Virginia transfer Mariel Shayok and four-star freshman Talon Horton Tucker on the wings, and Michael Jacobson starting in place of Cameron Lard in the post. While we're on the topic, the Iowa men have their first exhibition at Carver on Sunday, and the women on Tuesday, although they're now going to be without all Big Ten selection Kathleen Doyle, who the team announced today is going to miss 4 to 6 weeks with a fracture in her left hand. The Iowa wrestling team held a second round of wrestle-offs today, and Spencer Lee won by a pin at 125. Austin DeSanto was victorious at 133. Max Murren at 149. Matt at 141, make that. Pat Lugo had a pin at 149. Caleb Young won at 157. Alex Marinelli at 165. Cash Wilkie at 184. And Jacob Warner won by a major decision at 197. We're going to hop off the air, as Todd said, at 6:45 today, and Decorah at Xavier will be on the North and Main gyms. Bettendorf at Iowa City West on the South gym.
Rough Riders at home this weekend. They take on Madison tonight at the Stable. If anybody's looking for some last-minute plans to take in some hockey this evening. And then tomorrow, they keep the Wisconsin theme going. The Green Bay Gamblers come to the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena. Again, face-off 7:05. I'm hockeyed out. I've watched the Blackhawks lose the last couple nights to Vancouver and Edmonton. 366-1600. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com with us. Rob, you can make an argument that the biggest game in the Big Ten this weekend is a non-conference game, Northwestern hosting Notre Dame at Ryan Field. There's also Michigan and Penn State from the perspective of the Big Ten East, but what does Northwestern have in it in them this weekend? Can they knock off Notre Dame? The only thing standing between the Irish and the college football playoff is escaping Evanston with a win.
And I think they do. Northwestern's been good in the Big Ten, not so good out of the Big Ten. And I'm a believer in Notre Dame. I think it's a good football team. I think they've got a quarterback now. They play good defense. Brian Kelly isn't yelling as much, which is a positive. So
I'm sorry.
I know.
And he killed a kid. Sent him up in a scissor lift. That tends to get ignored, too. But, hey, we're over killing kids in college football. That was a million years ago. People didn't care about the student manager, and people really don't seem to care about Jordan McNair at Maryland right now, which is unfortunate. Penn State and Michigan. The Wolverines, a 10-point favorite in that one. I'm guilty of doubting Jim Harbaugh and Michigan at the beginning of the season, but the more and more I look at that team, the more and more I look at them, and they could give Ohio State a run for their money later on this month.
Yeah, I'm with you. I was so-so on Michigan coming into the season because I wasn't sure if Jim Harbaugh would loosen the reins enough to use Shea Patterson's skill set, but he has done that, and it's worked really well, and their defense we knew was going to be really good, and it is really good, and I don't see Penn State hanging in this one, maybe for a little while. But I think it's probably similar to what Michigan did against Michigan State and Wisconsin. They will pull away and win this one comfortably.
The one reason I thought that Michigan could, I didn't think they'd be this good, but could be a top 15, top 10 team, was that their defense was so good that I knew that they would win them some games early on and sort of let Shea Patterson ease his way into that role. He has been far from perfect. He's had his games. Mm-hmm. He's had some really, really bad games. And despite that, except for that Notre Dame game, they've won all of his bad games. But that defense is so dominant that they're going to be in every game that they play, and including that first game where they played as terribly as possible against Notre Dame, a top four team in the country, and still only lost by a touchdown.
And I think this is the best that Michigan's offensive line has performed since Harbaugh's gotten back. So, I mean, that was a key thing that he had to rebuild when he got there, and he's done that. Caron Higdon's having a real good year. They have that ability to run the football as well with that defense. It's a good recipe for success.
You know why Caron's having a big year? He talked to us at Big Ten Media Day.
That's why he's had five consecutive 100-plus yard rushing games.
It seems to work for players. Coaches, not so much. P.J. Fleck has been with us the last 2 years in Chicago. Chris Ash the first year. Yeah, we sort of gave him gave him the kiss of death right out of the gate as well.
Did you guys have Marcus Bailey, too?
We had him.
We did.
This is behind the scenes. We interviewed him. And that interview has never made its way.
It fell through the cracks. It got bumped.
That was still good enough. He's having a good year.
We'll be talking about him this weekend.
He got blessed from your interview.
The rest of the Big Ten picture this week, Michigan State is at Maryland. That's going to be fascinating to see how the Terrapins respond there. Nebraska at Ohio State, a 21-point underdog, now down to 19. Minnesota is in Champaign to take on the Illini. Hardy Nickerson stepping down as the defensive coordinator there earlier in the week. And Rutgers at Wisconsin. The Badgers now a 4-touchdown favorite over the Scarlet Knights at Camp Randall. I have a feeling, no spoiler alert here, no crystal ball, but they're going to be jumping around against the Scarlet Knights. We've got about 5 minutes here before we part ways. These early outs with high school football can be a blessing and a curse sometimes when you come up to Cedar Rapids to join us. But Hawkeye basketball starting up this weekend, an exhibition game, Guilford College out of North Carolina, a Sunday, 2 o'clock start time for basketball. What do we know about this team at this point in time? They had the secret scrimmage against Missouri last Sunday in Quincy, Illinois. It sounds like Maishi Daly and Tyler Cook performed well. There's some question marks around this team health-wise. Jordan Bohannon reportedly sidelined right now. Maybe we'll learn more about that this weekend. But your expectations for the Hawkeyes as they technically begin the season?
I'm really looking forward, not to Sunday, obviously. I think they should do the secret scrimmage against Guilford and then let us watch an exhibition game against Missouri.
That's such a bizarre rule. I don't know why ridiculous. The NCAA was like, well, if it's against the same level of competition, you got to pretend like it didn't happen.
And it's
do
weird,
it out of sight.
Because slowly you're seeing box scores from these things and more information. It's like people are keeping it less of a secret than they used to. I think they're just pushing the NCAA as much as they can.
It's,
but yeah,
depends on how good your student managers are, right. I think. If you grease some palms with the right student managers, you can get more information. But
it's a first chance to get a look and see what these guys look like. I think Maishi Daly, you brought him up. I think he's an interesting component to this team because of his versatility. Because of his ability to play multiple positions both on both ends of the floor and defensively, I think he could be kind of a wild card for this team, a guy that can, you know, fill in at a couple of spots and help this team win. But obviously, we've talked about it ad nauseum. They got to play defense. They've got to play defense. They've got to want to play defense, and they've got to do it.
Yeah, I know Pat Hardy wrote about that at All Hawkeyes earlier today, and it's always dangerous when we're kind of all on the same page, but you can talk about it until you're blue in the face, but at this point, 9 years in, people need to see the results in front of them. Who else do you like in the Big Ten this year? We haven't really talked a lot of basketball with you.
Yeah, I think Michigan State, obviously, is really good. Nebraska, I'll be interested to see because they're getting a lot of hype this preseason, and this has happened to them before, and they've fallen flat on their face.
They're a 4 seed in the bracketology.
Yeah, so that means they're a top 16 team. I want to see that. I want to see them go out and do that. I think a team that is under the radar a little bit because they had an off year last year, a rare off year, is Wisconsin. You got a superstar player in Ian Happ. You've got some guys that were hurt last year coming back. Some guys that were young last year that got experience, and I thought Wisconsin was playing really well at the end of the year. Would not surprise me at all to see them bounce back up and be in that top 4 again this year.
Well, we'll get things started with basketball in earnest this weekend, a 2 o'clock start time against Sunday Carver Hawkeye Arena. Final 90 seconds here, last-minute thoughts on Iowa and Purdue. One key for Iowa. I know we talked a lot about Nate Stanley so far in this segment. Does it really boil down to whether or not last week was a blip on the radar for him?
I mean, in this game, the way it sets up, and we've talked about it, how bad Purdue is at pass defense. That means, you know, Rocky Lombardi from West Des Moines Valley in his first college start threw for over 300 yards and 2 touchdowns without a pick last week. Stanley should be able to do some damage here. You know what also might be a good idea? Throwing the ball to Noah Fant before the fourth quarter might be a good idea. And I know teams are trying to take him away and do that. You got to get the ball to your playmakers. They're not getting
on the field.
Yeah. You're not getting the ball to him enough. You got to get the ball to him more.
We will find out. We'll break it down for everybody tomorrow beginning at 12:30 on our FM frequencies, 106.3 in Iowa City, 107.5 in Cedar Rapids. It's Before the Boom, leading you up to an hour before kickoff, and then Iowa and Purdue get at it. 2:30, Rossade Stadium. Winner remains in the Big Ten West title picture. The loser starts to look at the standings and do a little bold projecting on where they may wind up spending the postseason. A lot on the line tomorrow. A lot on the line for the Cyclones as well. They've got a game in Lawrence. 9 o'clock, the pregame from Kansas, as John Walters has the call for you there. We're sending you off right now to high school football state playoff quarterfinal action across Eastern Iowa. Scott Unash and Zach Mackey ready to bring you their respective pregames. Thanks for listening.